a crush on you. Baby, 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 got a crush on you. A crush on you, I can't believe that it's true. Oh, baby, 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 got a crush on you.
Well, it's just my luck, and I'm down again.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. After the big Pacific Northwest storm, people wade and wait for help as floodwaters rage. Trudging through mud, if you're lucky, in towns like Centralia, Washington, and Vernonia, Oregon. Flooding has meant evacuations. CBS's Bill Whitaker in Centralia.
The 1-2 punch of back-to-back storms are the worst people here can remember. The scope of the devastation is staggering. Houses, roads, whole blocks, whole communities underwater. The town of Vernonia, Oregon was cut off from the world when a mudslide Monday blocked the road and downed power lines left people in the dark. Rescuers reached the town today.
On her first trip home after the flood...
Oh, I just can't believe all this.
Joanne McGuire finds a sticky, muddy mess. Her belongings strewn everywhere.
Boots were in the bedroom, on a shelf, floated out to here.
Out to the living room.
Out to the living room.
This Woodinville senior is one of the countless people facing the daunting task of cleaning up.
Start somewhere. You gotta begin.
Heather Bosch for CBS News, Woodinville, Washington.
Pressure from Capitol Hill is mounting on credit card companies who jack up your interest rates, driving people deeper and deeper into debt.
In part due to pressure from the Senate investigation, three big credit card companies say they won't be raising interest rates for people who pay their bills on time. But executives of Discover and Bank America told senators they make no apology for policies, in some cases tripling interest rates because a consumer took out other credit cards or for some other reason their credit score went down. Senators blasted them while praising Citibank, Chase, and Capital One, who aren't doing it.
CBS's Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill. The day after the National Intelligence Estimate on Iran said they had put aside their nuclear weapons-building program in 2003, reaction has run the gamut from those who say they don't believe it, no way Iran's giving up on nukes, to those who say President Bush is forging ahead toward confrontation without evidence to back himself up. People like terrorism expert Neil Livingston.
This puts the president in the situation of looking like he's crying wolf again, that he in the past has talked about the imminent threat from Iran. It doesn't look so imminent today.
President Bush says until Iran actually turns away from nuclear weapons technology, they haven't stopped.
I think the NIA makes it clear that Iran needs to be taken seriously as a threat to peace. My opinion hasn't changed.
Now, these witnesses were not really expected to appear in court.
I thought I saw a pussycat.
But Tweety Bird, Donald Duck, and Mickey Mouse were subpoenaed to testify in a counterfeiting case in Italy. A clerical error in Naples, we're told.
I thought I saw a pussycat.
Mm-hmm. A Chinese man is accused of counterfeiting Disney and Warner Brothers products. Wall Street, the Dow lost nearly 66 points. NASDAQ off about 17. Oil prices today, $88.21 a barrel, down $1.10. This is CBS News.
We're shopping mall, there's shopping mall. Things that are small, bobs, big and tall. Traffic's a mess, there's no distress. Find a new way with no delay.
Traffic's a mess? Fear not. The Garmin Nuvi is here with traffic alerts and clear voice-prompted directions.
Turn right on 34th Street.
Give a Garmin. The Garmin Nuvi GPS. Find it at Garmin.com or your favorite retailer.
It's the holidays, when the kids get gifts they'll remember forever. And what do I get? Sweater vests. Well, this year, Daddy's getting himself what he really wants. A brand new Cadillac. Now, do I want an all-new CTS, the 2008 Motor Trend Car of the Year, or an Escalade with an available DVD-based navigation system? Either way, I'm getting a Cadillac. Thanks, Dad. You're welcome, son.
The Cadillac Season's Best event. Come see why the CTS is the 2008 Motor Trend Car of the Year. Season's Best. From Cadillac. Map coverage not available in portions of Canada.
If you're on a campaign to lose fat, but you don't exercise, your chubby neighbor who runs 3 miles a day may put flowers on your marker. It's a new study, Fat versus Fit.
Unfit or fat, pick your poison. To stay alive longer, being fit is the way to go, says University of South Carolina researcher Stephen Blair, even if you do carry around a lot of extra pounds.
You ask
How can a person be fat and fit? Well, you have to exercise.
Say 30 minutes of walking 5 days a week. His study in the Journal of the American Medical Association focused on people 60 and older. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
The mayors of Dallas, Houston, San Antonio, El Paso, and Austin have come up with a new Go Greener idea. They want the Texas state legislature to adopt the fluorescent as the state's official light bulb. They say if everyone uses fluorescents, it would reduce pressure to build more power plants and save people a ton of money. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Hi, folks. I'm Peyton Manning, inviting you to experience the Sony high-definition difference for yourself. To demonstrate how experiencing something makes a difference, I've asked Steve to give me a hand.
Hello.
Steve here thinks that
I have a weak arm.
Really? All right. So, Steve, take a few steps back.
Sure.
Ready?
Are we going to practice?
Thanks, Steve.
You're welcome.
It's important to experience something. High definition. It's in Sony's DNA.
And right now, through December 8th, you can save up to $700 on the combined purchase of a qualifying Sony Bravia LCD large screen HD TV and a Sony Bravia IS-10 5.1 channel surround sound home theater system. Now you can experience sound as incredible as an HD picture. The Bravia Theater Microsystem surrounds you with rich sound from five elegant yet powerful golf ball-sized speakers. To learn how you can save up to $700, visit a participating Sony dealer or sony.com/HDNA.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today, 6 minutes after the hour. We've got a lot of things to talk about, a lot of great people to talk with, including you, who can pick up the phone and call me at any moment. Toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That number is 888-573-8372. In our first hour today, we're going to talk about the stunning revelations in the National Security Estimate, the National Intelligence Estimate, that was released, which basically shows that Bush and Cheney have been lying like crazy about the threat posed by Iran. We have two great writers named Jonathan who will join us this hour. A little bit later, Jonathan Landay, who is an ace reporter at McClatchy Newspaper's Washington Bureau. He's the one who reported a month ago that Iran's nuclear program did not pose an imminent threat. Jonathan Schell will join us in just a moment. He's been writing about nuclear issues for more than 25 years, and his new book is just out called The Seventh Decade, The New Shape of Nuclear Danger. Also on today's program, Jason Leopold from truthout.org. He's going to talk about the new Pete Seeger film called Power of Song and a few other issues as well. And Melanie Sloan from CRU, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, is going to unveil a report. We'll get an exclusive on it because it won't be released until tomorrow. About massive waste at the Department of Homeland Security. That's all ahead. As I mentioned, your phone calls are welcome at any time. 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Jonathan Schell returns to our program today. He's a journalist and author. He is affiliated with the Nation Institute. I mentioned his most recent book is called The Seventh Decade. He wrote The Fate of the Earth back in 1982. And he has been an activist and a peace activist and just a wonderful voice on these issues for many years. Jonathan, welcome back to our program.
Great to be with you again.
Nice to talk with you. And were you at all surprised, either by the Landay report a month ago or the information that General McConnell released along with commentary from Stephen Hadley, the National Security Advisor, yesterday?
Well, both are surprising. Not so much for their content as for the fact that they have been released. Because you had a government heading in one direction, that is the Bush administration, or its public spokesman, including the president and Vice President Cheney, saying that Iran was definitely heading in the direction of getting nuclear weapons. And now suddenly along comes this intelligence report saying otherwise. I've got a quote here, by the way, from October 2007. This is from Cheney. They are working aggressively to develop the capacity to enrich uranium, and the end of that process will be the development of nuclear weapons. So yeah. he's beating the war drum there. And meanwhile, that whole national intelligence estimate, 14, 15 people, whatever the number is sailing off in the opposite direction. You wonder if they got in touch with one another.
Well, or to what extent was Cheney in denial, just assuming that the facts shouldn't get in the way of the policy that is already fixed? I mean, this gets us back to the Downing Street memo.
Yeah, well, it does. And he seems to be in permanent denial. And the new thing seems to be the intelligence communities who were so badly burned on the way into Iraq when they were kind of pressured into saying there were weapons of mass destruction there when they knew better. This time they seem they don't want to take that heat and are backing off.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I speculate here? I can't prove it in the slightest degree, but that is the Secretary of Defense, Bob Gates, is behind it. You know, there's been a debate within the administration, as we all know, about whether attacking Iran is the way to go. And my suspicion, again, I can't give you any chapter and verse on it, is that he would be rather averse to it. So we may see a bureaucratic battle that's just coming out a different way from the way the Iraq war battle went.
Well, and Gates, of course, came out of the H.W. Bush CIA era. Do you think this was adult supervision finally reining in this president?
Well, you know, they've had a lot of resignations of the neocons, and the new gang, I mean, including Condoleezza Rice, has been more moderate, more inclined to diplomacy and so forth, and so maybe that's beginning to tell.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, what's curious is that why would the president hang out there with many, many statements, you know, even talking about World War III being set off by Iran and so forth, if he had some notion that his entire intelligence community was going to go up against him.
Mm-hmm.
It's very curious.
And Jonathan Schell, in that same World War III comment that he made at the news conference, and I believe it was one of those questions that he asked himself and then answered.
Yeah.
He's often unsatisfied with the softballs lobbed by the press corps.
Ask himself a tough one.
But in that same breath, he changed the standard. He lowered the bar. That Iran posed a threat because they had the knowledge to create, as he mangles it, a nuclear weapon.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. And of course, to exaggerate a little bit, you and I have that knowledge. You know, somebody said that the Kennedy School of Government could manufacture a nuclear weapon if they had a piece of plutonium. So that knowledge is out there on the internet. In fact, it was published in the Progressive magazine. Back in the 1970s, so you could attack anybody if that was the standard,
mm-hmm.
including a lot of people here in the United States.
Jonathan Schell is with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you have a question or comment, my lines are open at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Now, what do we make of this key report telling us that Iran suspended or for internal reasons, it's argued as a cost-benefit factor, not so much ideology. But for whatever reason, this national intelligence estimate tells us that Iran stopped its efforts to develop nuclear weapons in 2003. So given that Saddam Hussein lost his bluff over possession of weapons of mass destruction, and we took his bluff and sent ourselves into his country and now this lengthy occupation. Did Iran calculate that they wanted to suspend the program so that inspections and the spy planes and satellites that we use would not give them away or compromise them? But at the same time, it appears that Ahmadinejad wanted to maintain the bluff to keep America guessing.
Mm.
And he kept bragging about, oh, we've got more centrifuges and they're running 24/7 and we've enriched uranium and nobody's going to stop us.
Right.
You know, what are we supposed to make of his commentary?
Well, you know, it's hard to read the minds of our own people, much less the folks over there, such as Ahmadinejad, who is, frankly, a little erratic. But the good news is that he probably isn't really in power over there. There's a gentleman called Ali Khamenei, whom they style the supreme leader,
mm-hmm.
who seems to really call the shots in these matters. So one aspect of this that is interesting and rather counterintuitive, I suspect, and again, maybe I'm speculating too much, but I think we're all speculating so soon after the news, and that is that this is as much a policy shift as an intelligence shift. Now, one curious thing about it is that they're saying that in 2003, before the change in policy in Iran, that there was a nuclear weapon program. Well, that in itself is something that hasn't been nailed down at all. Certainly the International Atomic Energy Agency has never really asserted that. So that's a very curious element. And all of this is very, very foggy. But if you here's the curious thing, that actually if you were to want to make a nuclear weapon, the most important thing you could do would be to enrich uranium. And that proceeds. In other words, it's not such a big bombshell in a certain way, because as we were saying before, that knowledge, those blueprints of how to just assemble the bomb, once you've got the uranium, is pretty simple stuff. So if you wanted to get the bomb, the most promising route would probably be to go ahead with the uranium enrichment, which they are permitted under the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty, and right. then some way down the road they say to themselves, well, do we want a bomb or not, yes or no? And if they decided no, they just continue with the nuclear power. And if they decided yes, they'd say, well, we don't care for the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty so much, so let's get out of it and make a bomb. So in a sense, what we've had is, curiously, I don't want to rain on the parade here, but it's more of an image shift than a substance shift. It's, mm-hmm. it's as if they raised that specter back in 2004, saying there was a program, definitely, and now there definitely isn't. They've given it a kind of sharpness that the reality doesn't really claim. It's a curious wrinkle in the whole thing.
Yeah. And on that note, Jonathan Schell, I want to recommend to people an interview that you did apparently just a few days ago with your friend Tom Engelhardt, who publishes at tomdispatch.com. And in it, he gets you to comment on a number of issues. The one I'd like to focus on right now is the whole deterrence argument. And that, why do nations want a nuclear weapon? Well, part of it is to be a member of the so-called club, because it builds them up, makes them feel more powerful. But the downside of that is that you have to calculate what would happen if somebody either uses a weapon on you or provokes you to use yours. So talk a little bit about that in this current context.
Yeah, well, you know, one thing that's absolutely clear, if you look back over history, and that's part of what I do in my book, is that people get nuclear weapons because others have got them. And there are all kinds of subdivisions of that motivation. One is the only way to be safe from someone else's nuclear bomb is to have one of your own. And by the way, this NIE report does not mean that Iran is not heading towards a bomb. It just means that they don't have any facilities that are specifically dedicated beyond the nuclear power fuel program.
Understood.
To do that. And so one reason, and that's straightforward deterrence. In other words, deterrence says if you want to be safe from the bomb, get a bomb. So the point there, and this is something that has been absolutely forgotten, and it's kind of shocking, and that is that it's the existing arsenals in the U.S., Russia, England, France, et cetera, that provoke these other countries into proliferating. You know, they call it a deterrent. I don't know who they're deterring right now. We're friends with Russia, supposedly, or kind of friends. So I call it a proliferant. I say our arsenal is a proliferant because it's goading the very thing we're supposed to be against. So that's one reason. Another is that when you've got a world where the top five countries, at least the ones that are permanent members of the Security Council, have got nuclear weapons, are holding on to them even when their quarrel ended with the end of the Cold War, just as though that's something every self-respecting nation should have, that creates a prestige argument for getting into the nuclear business. This was very, very important in India with its colonial history. They felt it's humiliating not to have something that the colonial powers have, and that included nuclear weapons. They called it nuclear apartheid, and they wanted to bust out of it, and they did, and now they're a nuclear power in Pakistan, too. So these are the secret engine of proliferation is not just some bad people out there in the world, rogue states and what have you. The secret engine of proliferation is the existing old, rotten, useless Cold War arsenals that we insist on holding on to.
We're going to take a break and return with Jonathan Schell. His new book is out called The Seventh Decade, The New Shape of Nuclear Danger. We got a bunch of callers. We'll get to you right after the break here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Let me welcome you to Planet Cruise.
It's the all-new Planet Cruise Comedy Hour at the Quimba Jazz Center this Friday, December 7th. I'm your humble host, Richard Stockton.
And I don't just sleep in my car. I wake up in the neighborhood of my choice.
Live comedian Andrew Norelli.
Don't turn the lights on. I was going to take her home.
The Planetoids, the Great Morgani, and Ukulele Dick.
My Ukulele
Peter
Dick.
Peter B. Collins.
The Outpatient Player.
They let the players out.
All comedically capturing the spirit of Santa Cruz. That's Friday, December 7th at the Kiwumba. Be sure and buy your tickets early. That's at Gateway's Books, Streetlight Records.
Ooh, save $5.
You're going to laugh your glutes off.
Hi, this is Peter B. Collins. I'll be showing up Friday night in Santa Cruz for the Planet Cruise Comedy Hour, so why don't you? I want to see a contingent from Monterey and Pacific Grove. And I'm not sure what Richard Stockton has in mind, but you just heard him use the humble host moniker. Lawsuits will be filed.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year and the fact that we can offer estate quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
Don't your children deserve the very best for the holidays? Locally owned and operated, Thinker Toys has been the first holiday shopping stop for generations of parents in Carmel and Monterey, where owner Mark Phillips and his staff take great pride in personally serving every customer. Thinker Toys is dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly. While Thinker Toys specializes in educational toys for newborns through six-year-olds, there's no better place than Thinker Toys to buy great toys for thinking kids of all ages. Make your child's Christmas, Hanukkah, Chrismica, Kwanzaa, or the holiday of your choice extra special with high-quality educational toys and games from Thinker Toys. Open every day at 10 a.m. in Carmel at 7th and San Carlos and in Monterey at the Del Monte Center. Drop by Thinker Toys today and tell Mark that Peter B. sent you. Happy holidays from Thinker Toys. Joseph's Upholstery of Monterey will satisfy all of your upholstery needs, whether for your home or business. Joe Vitale finishes headboards, chairs, sofas, and pillows. Joe imports the finest selected fabrics from Italy, Germany, France, and other European countries to add a distinctive touch to your home or office. Joseph's Upholstery is conveniently located at 222 Ramona Avenue in Monterey. They're open Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, and on Saturday, 9 to 1. Call Joe at 831-372-3224. Remember, at Joseph's Upholstery, there's one low price for all. And free delivery and pickup is available throughout Monterey and Santa Cruz counties. Call Joe Vitale now at Joseph's Upholstery, 372-3224.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super grain nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey, Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel, Staff of Life in Santa Cruz, and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz and Capitola. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. It's 23 minutes after the hour. Jonathan Schell is with us. His new book is called The Seventh Decade, The New Shape of Nuclear Danger. About 10 minutes away, Jonathan Landay, who is an ace reporter for the McClatchy Washington Bureau, will join us. He broke the story a month ago that Iran is not an imminent, or at least not an immediate, nuclear weapon threat. And, Jonathan Schell, I haven't received your new book yet, but as soon as I do, I'll read it, and then I'd like to invite you back to talk about it at some length.
To do that.
Look forward to it. Let's take some calls. John in Carmel Valley, thanks for calling the Peter B. Collins Show with Jonathan Schell.
I'd like to compliment Jonathan Schell on his Fate of the Earth book. I think it's the most frightening and effective book that describes all the aspects of what could happen in an atomic... Well, it was written for the the old Soviet kind of confrontation, and that's part of my question, is that now that things have changed so much, we aren't eyeball to eyeball like we were with the Soviet Union, would you have ever guessed when you wrote that book that we'd face an entirely different kind of threat from terrorists, perhaps, that might be even grimmer and harder to deal with than that ever was? And what do you think the odds are, or do you care to venture about the use of atomic weapons by terrorists?
Yeah, well, I didn't predict the end of the Cold War any more than anyone else did. But the fact is that the atomic scientists, going way back to 1945, understood perfectly. They knew their stuff. They'd built the bomb. They knew what it was made of, how you did it, and so forth. They understood perfectly that this technology, like any technology, was sooner or later going to be available to just about anybody. Now, it's taken a while because it's a tough technology. Already we have 40, 50 nations that could have the bomb if they chose to get it, if they went out to do so. Unfortunately, most of them have decided not to. But what's around the bend here is the possibility of a terrorist getting hold of a weapon or the materials for a weapon and then building one itself. And I would say it's inevitable. Not that a weapon will be used like that, but that capacity will be within the reach of sub-state groups, as they like to say. And so this is, we're on the cusp of that danger. Whether we've crossed that line exactly is not clear. The way I like to think of it is that the log is in the fire, is in the fireplace, and the kindling is there, and the newspaper has been put underneath it, and all that's missing is the match to light the flame. So it's mm-hmm. a very real danger, and it's one that was understood very well from the first days of the nuclear age. I just want to add one thing here. Back in the 1980s, there was a sudden, appearance of tremendous public concern about the nuclear danger. But we've got to get concerned again, because this thing is back, and with a vengeance, in a new form. It's mm-hmm. not like it was back then.
Yeah.
It's not one big threat coming from one place, although that hasn't gone away either, because the Russians still have thousands of weapons, and so do we. But it's coming at us. It's splintered, and it's coming at us now from all directions at once, including Iran, because that problem has not been solved, in spite of what the NIE has to say about it.
Yeah, and I'm very concerned.
I don't know, we better get our marching shoes back on again and certainly get our thinking caps on and start looking at this once again.
Yeah, I'm very concerned about Pakistan and who AQCON may have passed information, technology, and wherewithal to that we don't know about yet. Let's go to Matt in Sacramento. Matt, thanks for calling the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yeah, my question, I've always wanted to ask somebody who knows something about this, how come the United States with its thousands, not to mention China with their hundreds, et cetera, of nuclear weapons, how come everybody's so terrified of some country like Iraq or Iran getting one or two or ten? What is the big deal? It's like somebody with a 45 taking on a, like Private Ryan, where he's shooting a 45 at a German Tiger tank. What is America's problem with this?
Well,
what's the fear thing? What if we had one Polaris submarine set in the middle of the Mediterranean can take out the entire Mediterranean?
All right, hold on, Matt. Great question. We only have about 30 seconds for an answer. Jonathan, go ahead.
Yeah, well, the fact is that one of the great sleights of hand that was performed at the end of the Cold War was to direct everyone's attention to other people's nuclear weapons. Whereas, of course, the mother load of the problem is in the United States and Russia, France, England, China, and so forth. And so existing arsenals just mysteriously disappeared, and ones that didn't exist yet began to obsess everybody, and that was a tremendous mistake.
Jonathan Schell, thank you for your work and your advocacy. I look forward to your new book, and we'll talk again soon.
Great. I look forward to that.
New book is The Seventh Decade, The New Shape of Nuclear Danger. Oh. Jonathan Landay of McClatchy Newspapers joins us next. He broke the story.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by Hahn Office Furniture. Durable, flexible, and looks great for years. Hahn, smart now, smarter later. I'm Charles Osgood. Jillian Gibbons, the British school teacher who was jailed in Sudan for permitting young students to name a teddy bear Mohammed, Arrived home in England today, reporters met her at London Heathrow Airport.
Could anyone ever imagine that this would happen? I'm just an ordinary middle-aged primary school teacher. I went out there to have a bit of an adventure. I don't think anyone could have imagined that it could have snowballed like this.
A story after this for Hahn. If your company is searching for a few new chairs or furnishing an entire office, Hahn offers a wide range of products from file cabinets to executive desk suites. Hahn knows your choice is a long-term investment. Its full line of thoroughly designed furniture makes it the smart choice. Hahn products are adaptable, modular, and multi-purpose. You have flexibility and styles that easily match other product lines. Hahn, smart now, smarter later. For a free catalog or quote, visit gethahn.com. That's gethon.com. The Bose Quiet Comfort acoustic noise-canceling headphones fade background distractions so you can hear your music more clearly. They're so comfortable you may forget you're wearing them. Call 800-611-1468 to try them for 30 days risk-free. You can purchase QC headphones by January 31st, and you'll get $50 towards select Bose products purchased at the same time. Conditions and limitations do apply. Choose QC3 headphones for an on-ear fit or QC2 headphones for an around-ear fit. Call for details. They make a great gift. So call 800-611-1468. Jillian Gibbons, the 54-year-old British schoolteacher, was pardoned and freed after more than a week in jail. Two Muslim members of the British Parliament flew to Khartoum to plead her case in the teddy bear Mohammed incident to Sudan's President Omar al-Bashir, and she sent the president a statement saying she meant no offense.
Well, I was very upset to think that I might have caused offense to people. Very, very upset about it.
Asked if she was terrified of prison, Mrs. Gibbons said that's an understatement.
It has been an ordeal. But I'd like you to know that I was well treated in prison and everybody was very kind to me.
Some Sudanese were outraged about what they regarded as an insult to the Prophet. There were even calls for Mrs. Gibbons to be put to death. She says, until that teddy bear naming, everything had been lovely.
I was very sorry to leave Sudan. I had a fabulous time there. The Sudanese people I found to be extremely kind and extremely generous. And until this happened to me, I only had a good experience.
But all things considered,
I'm very glad to be back, and I'm a little shocked about all the media attention that I've been getting. I'm looking forward to seeing my family and friends and having a good rest. And I'm hoping that you'll give me space in order to do that.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Thanks for dialing our way today on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines are open if you have questions or comment. We continue our coverage about the National Intelligence Estimate, which tells us that Iran is not an immediate nuclear weapons threat. And Jonathan S. Landay returns to our program today. He's a great reporter who writes for the McClatchy newspaper's Washington Bureau. I'm sure our Sacramento listeners see his work in the B on a regular basis. Jonathan, welcome back. Nice to talk with you again.
Nice to be here.
And tell me, you were probably the least surprised American by Mike McConnell and Stephen Hadley's presentations yesterday regarding the National Intelligence Estimate, because it was on November 4th that you broke a story. Experts, no firm evidence of Iranian nuclear weapons. First of all, kudos to you for your reporting. And I also give credit to your bureau and the McClatchy chain for having the courage to publish this up against the sharp wave of war drum rhetoric coming from Bush and Cheney.
Thanks very much. You know, it's always good to be out in front. But I think that that one shouldn't lose sight of the fact that Iran has continued to defy the United Nations, which has twice asked it or demanded that it suspend its uranium enrichment program and stop building a heavy water research reactor that will produce weapons-grade plutonium, and mm-hmm. that Iran has refused to do both.
Well, and I want to make very clear to you and anyone else that I do have grave suspicions about the long-term intention of the Iranian government. But I don't call it a regime, and I don't try to hype the risks, because I think that there has been a conscious effort on the part of Bush and Cheney in particular to demonize Iran and to really create a much greater threat than the facts would reflect. And that is not to dismiss their long-term intentions. They certainly have a desire to become a regional, if not a world, military power. And they have some politics and some ideology that are in direct conflict with ours and our key allies in that region.
There's no denying that at all. At the same time, one has to put oneself in Iran's position. And that is that in 2003, Iran made what appears to be an unprecedented offer to settle all disputes with the United States. And this followed the U.S. intervention in Afghanistan and then the U.S. invasion of Iraq. And that offer included abandoning its nuclear work, resolving other issues of contention. The United States was going to be required to make concessions. This offer was relayed to the Bush administration by the Swiss, who handle affairs for the United States in Tehran, because the United States does not have diplomatic relations with Iran. And this offer was summarily dismissed by the White House. So now you put yourself, as I said, in the shoes of Iran, which then has U.S. forces not only on its border with Afghanistan, but its border with Iraq and in the Persian Gulf, and has heard Bush's pronunciation of the axis of evil. And they look around and they also see a number of other countries that have nuclear weapons. Those include Sunni Muslim Pakistan, Israel, Russia, China, Hindu-dominated India, the United States, and the fact that the United States expands its or provides a nuclear umbrella to Turkey, which is also on one of Iran's border, because Turkey is a member of NATO. And so the fact is that Iran, when it looks at its own security, had a lot to worry about, and still does, because all of that still pertains.
Now, Jonathan Landay, if the National Intelligence Estimate indicates that in 2003 Iran stopped trying to develop a nuclear weapon, the enrichment of plutonium and the gathering of
uranium. Plutonium you don't need to enrich, remember.
Thank you. Yeah, the enrichment of uranium and the development of these mass production centrifuges in Iran. Should we take it at face value that they are a signatory to the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty, which does permit them to develop nuclear power, and as some have pointed out, historically, the U.S. supported Iran's efforts to develop nuclear power plants when the Shah was in power back in the 1970s. And so Cheney often makes it seem really far-fetched, like, you know, this is an oil-rich nation. Why would they want nuclear power? Well, I don't support nuclear power under any circumstances. I think it's the risk-reward ratio is just out of tune. But that said, Iran is within its rights to enrich uranium for the purposes of generating electricity, and yet we always take the darkest view that all they want is a nuclear weapon. Now, it appears that they have been playing the bluff since 2003 by not honestly enumerating what we have discovered now from the National Intelligence Estimate.
Well, the fact is that you're right. They have not owned up to having a nuclear weapons program. And you're right that as signatories of the Non-Proliferation Treaty, Iran has the right to nuclear technology for peaceful purposes. What Iran did, however, was hide its nuclear activities for 18 years from the UN International Atomic Energy Agency, and that was a violation of what are known as its safeguard agreements. These are the agreements that it signs with the IAEA in order to take advantage of the so-called Atoms for Peace program, which is how all of this began. And in doing so, raised international eyebrows and distrust about whether or not it could be trusted. Now, you know, so when Iran does say, indeed, that it has the right to peaceful nuclear technology, where things start getting complicated, however, is the fact that, again, as I said, Iran has not Iran violated its safeguard agreements, and Iran was doing business with the AQ Khan network. The AQ Khan network is the network, the international network, that supplied illicitly nuclear technology to both Iran and to Libya, which did have a nuclear weapons program,
right,
using the very same technology that it was sold by the AQ Khan network, called the AQ Khan network because AQ Khan was the father of Pakistan's nuclear weapons program.
Right.
And so there were considerable grounds in which to believe that Iran had a nuclear weapons program, and yet it appears to not have been able at this point to overcome the major hurdle to being able to develop a nuclear weapon, which is to be able to enrich uranium on a massive scale.
Mm-hmm. And so, given what we know at this point, what do you see as the real intentions of Iran, or are they unclear?
I think they're unclear. Certainly, if Iran is able to master the art of industrial-scale enrichment, that would give it the ability to manufacture the fuel, highly enriched uranium, for a nuclear weapon. However, there would be a great deal of time in which to forewarning if it decided to go that route, at least it appears, because in order to produce highly enriched uranium, it would have to completely retool the industrial scale facility that it has built at Natanz in central Iran, because to produce highly enriched uranium means producing a substance that is highly corrosive. It's much more corrosive than low enriched uranium. And as I said, they would have to retool that facility, and if they did that, if they began to do that, it would be immediately noted by IAEA inspectors who are stationed at Natanz to monitor what goes on there.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's hard to say, but I have no doubt that there are hardline elements within the Iranian regime that want to develop a nuclear weapon, because as I said, when they look around their neighborhood, which is the roughest neighborhood in the world, they see a number of countries that already have nuclear weapons. They see a number of countries that have the U.S. nuclear umbrella guaranteed to them,
mm-hmm.
and they see U.S. troops on two of their borders and in the Persian Gulf.
We're talking with Jonathan Landay from McClatchy Newspaper's Washington Bureau here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines are open if you'd like to join us, 888-5-PETER-B. Jonathan, I know that you're on deadline with an editor over your shoulder, so if you need to end this, just let me know.
And I will definitely do that.
We will understand. Now, I am curious, to the extent that you can share with us the sources that led you to the article that you wrote, and indeed the sources that have supplied information to U.S. intelligence assets that are reflected in this national intelligence estimate. And let me just pile on with one more question there, and that is, when you mentioned the AQCon network, and in the article you published in early November, you talk about the difference between P1 centrifuges and P2s. Essentially, the P2s are about twice as fast as the P1s, and these came from the Con network. So since Pakistan is our, I'm holding up my quote fingers right now, ally and friend, and since we succeeded in persuading them to retire AQ Khan, and he was under house arrest for a while or whatever, you know, couldn't we have learned a lot about Iran's capabilities and intentions from Mr. Khan?
Well, it's a good question. I think there was a lot of knowledge about what Mr. Khan was up to, because there was an enormous amount of knowledge that the U.S. government had while Pakistan was developing its nuclear weapon. The fact is that there's a great book that if people are interested in knowing more about this, is recently published by two British journalists. It's called Deception.
Jonathan Levy. It's up on my shelf, and I've talked to Jonathan twice. They are fabulous.
Yep, and in it, they disclose, and I have no reason to doubt what they've disclosed, because most of their sources appear to be on the record, that the Reagan administration in particular knew so much about what AQ Khan was doing in Pakistan that they were able, the Department of Defense was able to construct a scale model of the Pakistani nuclear weapon that AQ Khan was developing. However, at that time, and at all times, actually, in U.S.-Pakistani relations, there have always been overriding considerations that has caused the United States to turn a blind eye to what the Pakistanis have been up to. And in that case, with AQ Khan, it was the fact that Reagan was determined to supply, to have the Congress supply weapons and financing to the Islamic rebels, the guerrillas, who were fighting the Soviet occupation of Afghanistan, and that trumped everything.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as far as what Mr. Khan provided, we do know because the Iranians have admitted, were basically forced to admit what he provided, because the Libyans were found out. And having found out from the Libyans, U.S. and I believe Britain and other countries were able to run down the network that supplied the Libyans, and to understand what the network also supplied to the Iranians. And this may be one reason why the Iranians felt international pressure to put a hold on their own nuclear weapons program, at least according to the NIE.
Mm-hmm. And so I take it you can't reveal your sources, but can I ask you this?
I should have answered that question. I mean, it wasn't that difficult. Everything that the IAEA inspectors see is public information. It's available on the IAEA website, from IAEA publications. But also, there are people who are willing to talk about this, and I quote some of them in my story, including one gentleman who was actually in a position to know, because he, until recently, was a senior official in the State Department dealing with nonproliferation. He's in my story. His name is Fitzpatrick.
Mark Fitzpatrick.
Right. He's mentioned in the story. But also you have the director of the International Atomic Energy Agency, Mohammed Al-Baradei, saying the very same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And my story doesn't say that they're not seeking a weapon. It doesn't say that they want to they don't want one. What it says is, right now, it doesn't appear as if they have an active nuclear weapons program.
Right.
And there's a very good reason to believe that. And that's because there all of the indications in all of the IAEA reports are that it has not been able to master the art of uranium enrichment.
Mm-hmm. We need to take a break. Jonathan Landay is with us from McClatchy Newspaper's Washington Bureau. Go ahead and Google Landay and Iran. That's what I did to pull up this story from November 4th. It's fascinating to read, and it's affirmed now by the government's own national intelligence estimate. We'll take some calls in the next segment. Jonathan Landay from McClatchy Papers with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
It's all the excitement of a presidential primary right here on the Central Coast. Come to the first presidential primary in the nation in Salinas Sunday, December 9th. It's a Democratic presidential straw poll with representatives of the Democratic campaigns and hundreds of their supporters packing the floor. The first presidential primary in the nation, Sunday, December 9th from noon to 5 at Sherwood Hall in Salinas. Information at montereycountydemocrats.org or 262-0367. That's montereycountydemocrats.org or 262-0367.
I love coffee, I love tea. That's why Coffeetopia's the place for me. Coffee and tea, my honey and me. At Coffee, Coffee, Coffeetopia.
Coffeetopia at 1723 Mission Street and 3701 Portola Drive in Santa Cruz offers the finest in handcrafted espresso drinks, whether it's a traditional Italian-style cappuccino or a sweet caramel macchiato. We offer a range of full-leaf teas, a choice of chais, including our new Zawadi African chai, and organic coffees. Coffeetopia also carries local baked goods fresh daily, including French-style pastries. Or try a toasted bagel with one of our exclusive non-dairy bagel spreads, either garlic dill or smoked tofu. Coffeetopia, Santa Cruz's oldest internet cafe, offers both free wireless and computer terminals for those who need them. Coffeetopia. Remember, we're here to help.
Coffee, Coffee, Coffeetopia. On August 28, Todd Endress was almost eaten alive by an 18-foot great white while surfing on Monterey Bay. A pod of 15 dolphins formed a wall between Todd and the shark, otherwise he would have died. ISARF, the International Shark Attack Research Fund, is a nonprofit foundation spearheaded by Todd to find ways to keep surfers, swimmers, and divers safe in our oceans without harming the shark. If you'd like to help, please go to ISARF.org to make your tax-deductible donation. That's ISARF.org.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Just before the break, we were talking with Jonathan Landay from McClatchy Newspapers, and during the break, he apologized, but his editor called. He's on deadline, and a big story that I guess will be published tomorrow is being worked over there. So I want to thank him for joining us today. He is an incredible reporter who's shown great courage in publishing material that is not too popular at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. And this is just another example. Again, the article I cited was published on November 4th, and it basically has the information that was affirmed by the National Intelligence Estimate released in Washington yesterday. Got a couple of callers on the line. Dave from Eureka, sorry that Mr. Landay couldn't stay on, but what is your comment today?
Well, I would have wanted his input because my thinking is that the factor that needs to be weighed here is that some 15 years ago, a group of fascist sociopaths got together and came up with that plan they call PNAC, and they fully intended to take over the Middle East and divide up all of the oil assets among their corporate special interests. So that's a factor that has to be weighed. They called it global domination. They called it a new world order.
Mm-hmm.
But
Does it really go back 15 years, Dave? I mean, I think of PNAC as about 1996.
Well, that was Bush administration, senior.
Well, no, Clinton was in office in 96. So I believe that PNAC was organized right around the time that they pushed for the... there was a bill that they jammed through Congress about 97 or 98 that Clinton actually signed, calling for the liberation of Iraq. And it was promoted by the neocons who coalesced around PNAC.
I should have checked that. It's still on RayTal.com.
Yeah, in any event, the length of the plotting is not as important as your point, which is, yes, there's a whole blueprint for remodeling the Middle East along the lines of, Cheney and Wolfowitz and their points of view, Pearl. And this is a major obstacle now to the dreams and visions that they articulated. And I'm not ready to do any dance or celebrate at the moment, but it does appear that Dick Cheney's intentions and his strong desire to see a military assault on Iran before Bush and Cheney leave office a little over a year from now is deeply set back, if not permanently thwarted.
You know, I think they've gotten behind the plan already. I think they're supposed to already be in Iran and Syria.
Yeah, they have been running behind. They didn't expect to spend quite as long in Iraq, Dave. They thought they were going to be there about 6 months to a year at the most.
Oh, I don't think so. They plan to keep it for as long as there's oil in the ground.
Well, no, my point is the massive deployment of U.S. troops they thought would be short-term. That's one of the reasons they jumped out of Afghanistan into Iraq. They thought, well, you know, we knocked them over. Now we're going to knock over Iraq. And they just imagined that everything was going to fall into place and that U.S. Forces would be freed up to move on to, say, Syria or Iran.
Thanks,
but we've gotten just a little bit bogged down, wouldn't you say, Dave?
Yeah, thank
right.
you so much.
I appreciate your call. Julie in Sacramento, thanks for calling the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter B.
Hello.
Hi, I have two questions, but as I was listening to the previous caller, on the Project for a New American Century, I believe that it was Ronald Reagan that asked Richard Pearl to write up the New World Order, and the PNAC was essentially rewritten from the New World Order.
Well, I'm not so sure about that. In the waning days of the Poppy Bush administration, so this was 91 and into 92, Cheney commissioned a study at the Pentagon. He was Secretary of Defense at the time, and they had just come off the successful episode of removing Iraqi troops from Kuwait. And, of course, Cheney was all pissed off because he wanted to go all the way to Baghdad, and Bush said no. And so I believe at that time he commissioned Richard Pearl to develop a blueprint. And, of course, they were hoping that Bush Sr. was going to be reelected in 1992, and they might be able to implement that in that term. Instead, they had to wait 8 more years.
Okay. Well, I had the question for Jonathan, but since he's gone, it was, is there really a limited amount of uranium that can be mined?
Well, I think there are limited known sources of it. And, you know, it's not widely dispersed around the planet, but it's a good question. I don't know the exact known reserves of usable uranium in the world and where those deposits are located. That's a good question.
Okay. And the other one was, when does the Iraqi oil start repaying the American taxpayer for the cost of the occupation of Iraq? Have any idea?
You think it'll be in your lifetime, Julie?
Well, you know, it's, from what I understand, the government is waiting for the Iraqi government to pass the law that will allow the Western oil companies to take 70-80% of the oil profits. Why
right.
doesn't it go to the American people?
Yeah. Very good question. Thank you, Julie.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show today. And our ace producer, Katrina Rill, caught me when I was talking to Jonathan Landay. We were talking about this powerful new book called Deception, and it's written by Adrian Levy. I called him Jonathan because, well, we had Jonathan Schell and then Jonathan Landay, and I just have had Jonathan on the brain today. But it's Adrian Levy, and he's co-author of the book Deception, a very recommended title here at the Peter B. Collins Show. We're going to take a break for the top of the hour news and then talk with retired General Keith Kerr. He asked that question about gays in the military at the YouTube debate last week. We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, explain the value of wines made from organic grapes.
You know, I think that drinking organic wines is what Tony Robbins described as a class one experience. Wines made with organic grapes feel good. They taste extremely good, just like an organic tomato or a strawberry tastes usually better than a conventional counterpart. They are good. There's plenty of scientific evidence about the health benefits of drinking wine in moderation. Drinking organic wines also is good for other people in that you're supporting farmers. And last but not least, it's definitely good then for the higher good.
The Organic Wine Company. Log on to ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE toll-free. That's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The president says there's no reason to take the pressure off Iran.
I view this report as a warning signal.
I'm Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill, where credit card companies were lambasted for sneaky hikes in interest rates.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. President Bush opened this morning's news conference by urging Congress to act on war funding, domestic eavesdropping, and the alternative minimum tax, but most of the session was dominated by the new intelligence on Iran. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller reports.
Question after question focused on the national intelligence estimate and its assertion that Iran halted its nuclear weapons program 4 years ago. All the time, Mr. Bush was warning of Iran's pursuit of nuclear weapons. But he holds to that view.
Nothing's changed in this NIE that says, okay, why don't we just stop worrying about it? Quite the contrary.
He says he still feels strongly Iran is a danger and must be subjected to international pressure to give up its program to enrich uranium used in the making of nuclear weapons. Mark Noller, CBS News, The White House.
I'm Dan Raviv. When seven Democrats running for president debated in Iowa on NPR, they accused Mr. Bush of making threats toward Iran based on faulty information.
They should have stopped the saber rattling, shouldn't have never started it,
said Senator Barack Obama. John Edwards suggested Hillary Clinton has encouraged President Bush. She said,
none of us is advocating a rush to war,
adding she's being unfairly attacked. Dan Raviv, CBS News.
Now this.
This holiday season, give the most eternal, unique gift of the year. Name a star after someone. I'm Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, we'll name a star after anyone on your gift list. The star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office, and we will send an incredible personalized gift package. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com for the gift that shines forever.
Are aches and pains still keeping you up? Here's a nice surprise. Advil PM gives you a better night's sleep than Tylenol PM because you'll spend less time lying awake with annoying aches and pains and more time asleep. Get the multi-pain relieving power of Advil plus a non-habit forming sleep aid to gently ease you into a full night's sleep. So switch from Tylenol PM to Advil PM. Less time lying awake, more time asleep. Use only as directed. Brands or trademarks of the respective owners.
You make your credit card payment on time, but your interest rate goes through the roof. What's up with that? A Senate panel demanded answers today. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
Discover and Bank of America were slammed at the hearing for continuing a practice several other big credit card companies have stopped, raising interest rates for people whose credit rating changes but who make every payment and are never late. Janet Hart of Freeland, Michigan told senators her rate jumped to over 20%.
We were never expecting to shirk our debt responsibility.
We only expected to be treated fairly.
The hike could come from simply applying for other cards or being late in a payment to another company. Democratic Senator Carl Levin says that's just wrong.
I think we have to stop these practices. I would obviously hope that the companies would stop them on their own.
With the clear threat that if they don't, Congress may make them. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The industry says it's all a matter of risk.
Riskier borrowers pay more for credit, just as riskier drivers pay more for car insurance.
And Nessa Fettis of the American Bankers Association says customers who don't like one card's rate are free to take their business elsewhere.
A credit card isn't like a marriage. You can leave your credit card company and find something better. And people have lots of choices because there's lots of competition.
The big storm has moved into the northern plains, dumping heavy snow, leaving behind vast areas underwater in the Pacific Northwest. This woman lives in Centralia, Washington.
My front yard's completely covered. Everybody across the street, the whole nursing home, which that's what they were doing, was evacuating people from the nursing home, is completely underwater. Everybody's underwater.
In Oregon, Governor Ted Kulongoski visited flood victims in Salem.
They all had a story about they looked out one moment and they went back and doing what they were doing. The next thing you knew, the water was coming up and it was in the streets.
The government handed out a lot of aid after the Gulf Coast hurricanes in 2005. Now, as CBS News correspondent John Harchi reports, it's trying to get some of that money back.
FEMA estimates 134,000 people got hurricane relief money they should not have. It adds up to nearly $500 million, or about $1 of every 10 the government intended to help victims of Katrina and Rita. What happened? An AP survey found the government handed out aid to more homes in some neighborhoods than actually existed, and congressional investigators found nearly half of the 11,000 people who got emergency debit cards to handle their needs collected again, getting checks from FEMA.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
We're shopping mall, there's shopping mall. Things that are small, Bob's big and tall. Drop, fix a mess, there's no distress. Find a new way with no delay.
Traffic's a mess? Fear not. The Garmin Nuvi is here with traffic alerts and clear voice-prompted directions.
Turn right on 34th Street.
Give a Garmin. The Garmin Nuvi GPS. Find it at Garmin.com or your favorite retailer.
It's the holidays, when the kids get gifts they'll remember forever. And what do I get? Sweater vests. Well, this year, Daddy's getting himself what he really wants. A brand new Cadillac. Now, do I want an all-new CTS, the 2008 Motor Trend Car of the Year, or an Escalade with an available DVD-based navigation system? Either way, I'm getting a Cadillac. Thanks, Dad. You're welcome, son.
The Cadillac Season's Best event. Come see why the CTS is the 2008 Motor Trend Car of the Year. Season's Best. From Cadillac. Map coverage not available in portions of Canada.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
It's working. Welcome to another hour of the Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco by the incredible Katrina Rill. And our assistant producer who's taking your calls today is Brian Urban. And he gets a special, special kudo for technical support today. He's got the spy bots and the worms and the viruses on the run in the PC we use to play this music right here. Coming up later this hour, Jason Leopold joins us for his weekly visit on the program. He's the manager of investigations at truthout.org. Next hour, Melanie Sloan from CREW is going to release tidbits of a report that's actually coming out tomorrow about massive waste at the Department of Homeland Security. Also this hour, I'm going to tell you about our friend Medea Benjamin, co-founder of Global Exchange and Code Pink for Peace. She was detained by the security forces, the ISI, in Pakistan in the last 24 hours. But we understand she has been freed on the condition that she leave the country immediately. So she should be returning to the U.S., and when she does, we'll get her on the show. Joining me right now is retired General Keith Kerr. Scratch your head. If you were watching the YouTube Republican debate on CNN last week, His question came up very close to the end of the debate, and I think it was one of the most important and on-target questions that was posed. Instead of those gotcha questions about who reads the Bible and do you believe every word and the locked and loaded guy and the immigration questions. General Kerr, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Great to be with you, Peter.
Nice to talk to you, sir. And I understand, I'm looking at your bio. I just want to point out for our listeners in Monterey and Santa Cruz that you started in the Army as a private at Fort Ord just a few months after I was born.
It's been a long time.
Yes, it has. You served in the active military and then moved over to the Army Reserve, where you became a top dog in the California National Guard.
Yes. Actually, the component was the State Military Reserve at the end of my career.
Yeah. Well, General, I just want to tell you how thrilled I was when your question came on the television last week and that you were allowed to ask some follow-up questions when the responses were what we call non-responsive. Tell our listeners you served with honor in the military and you are an out gay man. And I believe that the don't ask, don't tell compromise was stupid to begin with and has certainly outlived whatever usefulness it had. And yet we see that among Republicans and still many Democrats, there is no desire to change that status quo.
I think a lot of it is generational. People that were born in the 1950s still have the idea that gay and lesbian people don't fit into society very well. And I don't think that's true. Today we all know we all know gay friends. There are gay pastors, gay sports figures, gay entertainment icons, gay parents. I think society has moved on. And so I think it's time for the military to move on and do as all of our military allies have to, allow gay and lesbian people to serve openly.
Yeah. And I couldn't help it when I heard the Huckabee responded to your question and a couple of others, and I can't remember exactly who it was, but one of them used the phrase unit cohesion. And every time I hear that, it takes me back to 92 or 93, and aging Senator Strom Thurmond kept referring to unit cohesion. You know, if we have homosexuals in the military in the foxholes, we're not going to have unit cohesion. And it is just so bogus, because when you're in a combat situation, the last thing you're concerned about is the sexuality of your fellow fighters.
That's correct. Now, what does unit cohesion mean? Well, it means the ability of a group of people, military people, to train together, to work together, to trust one another, and to form a bond. And it is important. But gay and lesbian people are not necessarily the ones who destroy unit cohesion.
Yeah.
You know, this argument was used in 1941 at the beginning of World War II. The adjutant general of the army wrote to subordinate commands on the issue of mixing African American and white troops together.
Mm-hmm.
And they said it would, quote, destroy unit cohesion. The Navy was just as bad. The General Board of the Navy wrote to the Secretary of the Navy and said that, well, African Americans should not serve in unlimited duty occupations. They would be good for cooks, for dishwashers, and for dining room stewards to serve white officers in the Navy. And the Marine Corps wasn't any better. Would destroy unit cohesion. And the Commandant of the Marine Corps, Major General Thomas Holcomb, said he would rather have 5,000 whites than 250,000 African Americans. So attitudes are very hard to change.
And
social change comes slowly. and grudgingly.
General, thank you for sharing the history of that hateful phrase, unit cohesion. I didn't know it was used against African Americans back in the World War II era.
Well, let's move on to some other issues.
All right, sir.
Don't ask, don't tell.
Well, the other thing that I wanted to mention here is that I am offended by the way your question and your status were handled by CNN. Because simply because you have been a supporter of Senator Clinton and you serve in an unpaid role on an advisory committee, they edited you out of the replay the YouTube debate.
The good news, Peter, is that there's an organization headquartered in Los Angeles. I didn't learn about this until later, called GLAAD. And GLAAD stands for the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. And what they try to do is make sure that media reporting is accurate and fair and unbiased, especially with regard to gay and lesbian issues. And I guess they got hold of CNN and urged them to put the segment back in, and I understand it was restored.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you believe that you should have disclosed your relationship prior to submitting your YouTube question?
Well, after I submitted my YouTube question, if they asked me, I should have disclosed that. But it was an oversight on my part. It was unintentional. But I belong to a number of organizations. The steering committee on which I was asked to serve is relatively inactive. I think I've gotten two or three emails from them, and generally they report on whether the senator's polls are rising or falling. So it wasn't really in my consciousness.
You know, I get emails from Tom Tancredo, from Rudy Giuliani, and from all the Democratic campaigns, and I don't believe that makes me somehow connected to those campaigns.
Well, true. So,
now, General Kerr, with that in mind, how have you handled the backwash? I understand that one of the reasons your voice is a little raspy today is that you went on the Bill O'Reilly show last night. How did that go?
Well, it actually went very well. I was very apprehensive because I know Bill O'Reilly's views and reputation. And in a weak moment, I said I would come on his show.
Mm-hmm.
And I must say that he treated me with the greatest respect. And then one of the interesting things about Bill O'Reilly was his comment that instead of my voluntarily disclosing that I was on the GLBT Veteran Steering Committee, CNN should have asked me to disclose my affiliation. And they vetted me, and which they failed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it all happened so fast, Peter. It was a week ago Saturday that I got a call from CNN and YouTube, and they said, hey, we'd like to have you come to St. Petersburg. Here's an airline ticket. Here's your limo from the airport.
Mm-hmm.
Here's your hotel accommodations at the Hilton St. Petersburg. So I scrambled and went. I really didn't know that my question was going to be asked, and I didn't think that much about it. I did get a hint the evening of the debate because they put me in an aisle seat.
Mm-hmm.
And then about halfway through the program, one of the aides came and said, you might be called on for a follow-up question.
Uh-huh.
And so at that point, I was fairly certain that if they didn't run out of time, the question would be asked.
Right. Now, General, what are your hopes? Do you believe that Senator Clinton would overturn Don't Ask, Don't Tell if she's elected president?
Well, this was what started me thinking in June at one of the original CNN Democratic debates. Wolf Blitzer asked all the eight candidates how many would support repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And all eight hands shot in the air. And about a week later, the same question was asked to the Republican candidates, and no hands went up. So I thought they needed to be called to task.
And in the Republican YouTube debate, do you think that Mitt Romney had the lamest response, where he said, yeah, I used to think that way, but you don't want to do that now. This isn't the right time. We can't do it while we're at war.
Yeah. Well, of course, that was, you know, go back to World War II again. We can't do it now. It's not the right time.
Yeah.
And as Martin Luther King said, if not now, when?
Mm-hmm. Well, General Kerr, I want to thank you for joining us today. I thank you for the courage that you showed in bringing this issue up and facing the silly firestorm that followed it. And I don't know if you drink alcohol, but I would recommend a little scotch for your throat.
Well, Peter, thank you. Can I make one more comment?
Please do.
And that is that the real issue here, one of the real important issues, is military readiness. And any time we throw 58 Arabic linguists out of the armed services mm-hmm. because they're found to be gay, or when we discharge surgeons or nurses or intelligence specialists or bomb disposal experts because they're gay, that has a real negative impact on our American fighting forces.
Indeed it does.
So regardless of whether one is for or against our involvement in Iraq, we need to have the strongest military possible, and to denigrate the service of people because of their sexual orientation is, in my book, terrible.
It certainly is. General Kerr, thank you for joining us today, and again, thank you for your service to our country.
Thank you, Peter.
General Keith Kerr here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Which sounds a lot like latent homophobia to me.
Fascinating to hear the history of that phrase, unit cohesion. Thank you, General Kerr. We're going to take a break and return. Got room for a couple of phone calls, and then Jason Leopold will join us just after the bottom of the hour as we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Our radio show for the whole family. Dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540, KRXA, 6 a.m. weekdays.
Let me welcome you, Planet Cruise.
It's the all-new Planet Cruise Comedy Hour at the Quumba Jazz Center this Friday, December 7th. I'm your humble host, Richard Stockton.
And I don't just sleep in my car. I wake up in the neighborhood of my choice.
We'll have comedian Andrew Norelli.
Don't turn the lights on. I was going to take her home.
The Planetoids, the Great Morgani, and Ukulele Dick.
Hi, Ukulele Dick!
Peter B. Collins. Dr. Rupert Opie, Phil the Security Guard, the Eclectic Company, the Outpatient Players with Simone Cox and Sound Effect Master Sven Davis.
They let the players out!
Ron Wilson, the Planetoid Band, all comedically capturing the spirit of Santa Cruz. Karen Babbitt. That's Friday, December 7th at the Columba. Be sure and buy your tickets early. That's at Gateway's Books, Streetlight Records.
Ooh, save our bucks!
That's Friday, December 7th, 8 o'clock at the Columba.
I got a ticket. I can walk in. You, the Planet Crew.
You're gonna laugh your glutes off.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
I'm Sheila Gale. Join me every Saturday afternoon from 4 to 5 as we talk about effective ways to help us get through life's greatest challenges, depression, death of a loved one, addictions, illness, fear. There's nothing we won't talk about. My guests include life coaches, best-selling authors, and you. Call in, and together we'll find ways to live with less stress and more joy and peace. Brought to you by Sun Street Centers, serving Monterey County since 1968. Sun Street Centers.
Hello, this is Jane Fleming with Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery in Monterey. And if you have a new emerging business like I do, consider advertising on KRXA 540 AM. KRXA is one of the best values on the Central Coast in today's competitive marketplace. Beyond Wheat has seen noticeable and consistent growth since our ads began with KRXA. We are muffins ahead in sales every month thanks to sales manager Larry Rathall. Call Larry at 394-KRXA. That's 394-5792. You'll be so glad you did.
Okay, time for the big traffic report of the day. Let's start it off. Got a lot of activity, actually. We're going to start off in Del Monte Force, 17-mile drive at Cypress. It is, they're saying it's a disabled vehicle, but they're also telling us it's several cars involved in this problem. It looks like this is a crash, to be more precise. In Santa Cruz County, Highway 1 at Ocean Street, we have a motorhome and a car blocking lanes. And again, I believe this is a crash, although CHP indicating it's a disabled vehicle. Soquel Drive at 41st. We have a fender bender, two vehicles partially blocking the roadway. Soledad, northbound 101 after Soledad State Prison. You don't want to go there. Mattress in the lanes. A car lost the mattress in the center divide area. And we're going to take a look at Prunedale, Meridian and westbound after Dyer. It's a jackknife big rig partially blocking lanes there. Rio Del Mar, southbound 1 after Rio Del Mar, several boxes right lane.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B.
I walk through the sweetest world, searching for the light in the darkness of insanity.
This portion of the Peter B. Collins Show is dedicated to Medea Benjamin and Ty Barry. You know Medea Benjamin, co-founder of Global Exchange and Code Pink for Peace, perhaps the most arrested protester in the U.S. Capitol. And today, Tuesday, Pakistan time, which is about 14 hours ahead of us, these two individuals, Medea Benjamin and Ty Barry, were at a student rally in Lahore, Pakistan, and they were followed by police on motorcycles. And as they tried to alert media, they realized that their cell phones were jammed. So they returned to the press club where they had started from to alert the media, called the U.S. Embassy about the harassment, and made some statements. And as they left the press club the second time, they were stopped outside the gates by six civilian Secret Service agents with guns drawn at the car. The driver was ordered out. Police confiscated the vehicle with Medea Benjamin and Ty Barry inside. Here's a quote from Medea. It's a sad state of affairs when the Pakistani government, a government that is trying to portray itself to the West as democratic, tries to harass and deport U.S. human rights activists. If they do this to us, who have the protection of being U.S. citizens, imagine what they do to their own citizens. We will not be intimidated, says Barry. We will continue our activities here in support of Pakistanis struggling for democracy. We call on the Pakistani government to stop harassing us and respect our rights. And they've been in Pakistan since November 25th on a mission to learn about and support Pakistani civil society. They've been meeting with lawyers, students, judges, journalists, and political leaders. They conducted a 24-hour vigil outside the home of a prominent attorney, Aitzaz Hassan, who's under house arrest. Through these activities, they've received tremendous support and appreciation from average Pakistani people. And today they received a letter of thanks from the Lahore High Court Bar Association. The lawyer extended heartfelt gratitude for showing solidarity with the legal community of Pakistan and for helping to boost the morale of Pakistani lawyers in their just struggle for the restoration of the Constitution. And they were told that they have to leave the country forthwith, despite the fact that they are holding valid visas. So it's just another courageous statement and personal activity or personal action by Medea Benjamin, and in this case her colleague Ty Barry. And hopefully as soon as they return to the United States, we'll get them on the program so they can tell us more. And I'm fascinated to hear not only about this incident, but their general contact with Pakistanis and the situation there under emergency rule that Musharraf has promised to lift on December 16th, just a few weeks before the scheduled date for elections. It's a very difficult and fascinating situation. And again, I'm very proud to know Medea Benjamin, and she's there speaking for me. We'll take a break and return with Jason Leopold from truthout.org. That's next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Back from the brink. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Since 2006, I've been hearing predictions that Iran was in our crosshairs, that we could not let them get a nuclear bomb, even if it meant another preemptive war. There was a drumbeat, especially from the vice president.
Our country and the entire international community cannot stand by as a terror-supporting state fulfills its most aggressive ambitions.
The president, too, talked tough, but there's been speculation that he was torn between a vice president itching to bomb and a State Department warning of another Iraq-style catastrophe. Well, now we have this new intelligence report, which doesn't change the facts, which says Iran is continuing to enrich uranium and could still produce enough of it to make a bomb within 7 years, but which also says that the military program to make that bomb was shut down in 2003. Why is this being disclosed? Well, here's what the president said this morning.
Members of my administration have been very clear about the weapons program earlier this year, and therefore it's important for the American people to see that there's been a reevaluation.
So suppose you had a president trying to salvage his legacy, who knows he went to war once over weapons that weren't there, and is now under pressure from a very powerful vice president to do it again. How would you pull the rug out from under that very powerful vice president? Well, you'd release a report that restates the same facts but evaluates them differently and comes to the conclusion there is no moral reason to go to war. And this time, you release that report before the war rather than after. Now this.
Reason number 11 to switch to Geico. Man does not travel by four wheels alone. If you love scooters, you need to call Geico. Because now Geico offers insurance on all the stuff that moves you, including scooters. Great rates, great coverage, and personal service 24/7. Call anytime, 1-800-44-CYCLE, or visit geico.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Hi, this is Paul.
And Cynthia.
Of the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden. And we'd like to thank you for supporting this locally owned and operated Carmel business for nearly 40 years.
Nestled in Carmel by the Sea, the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden occupy a beautiful space on Dolores between 5th and 6th, showcasing an array of books on local interests, new releases, bestsellers, novels, children's, metaphysical, and much more. Plus, you'll enjoy taking a good look at our music, healing tools, cards, statuary, fountains, and more.
Proud to be a part of the Carmel business community, we invite you to see us soon.
Pilgrim's Way offers one-on-one intuitive counseling in the bookstore. You may call ahead for an appointment or just walk in. Whether you're a local resident or a visitor to our beautiful peninsula, we have something for everyone.
The Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden, between 5th and 6th on Dolores.
Discover an imaginative adventure. Pick up a good read at the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Carmel Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmel Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Every day I do this program, I learn something new. What I learned today from Jason Leopold is that Pete Seeger originally wrote this song that the Byrds made a big hit in 1966. And now just let me correct my memory. It was actually 1965. Turn, Turn, Turn was number one on October 23rd of 1965. That's the Byrds version with Roger McGuinn and the gang. Jason, welcome to the program today.
Good to be with you. And I actually have to, I was corrected by a reader today who said that Pete Seeger actually arranged Turn, Turn, Turn based on verses from the Bible.
Well, I knew that. Yeah, it's the book of Ecclesiastes, and I went to a reference book that I keep on the shelf here. It's called Top Pop Singles, and that's what gave me the info that it was number one on October 23rd of 65. And under it, it says, lyrics adapted by Pete Seeger from the book of Ecclesiastes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, a little bit of an education today.
So you got off the hard news beat and went to take a look at this new film called The Power of Song.
Well, yeah, it's an incredible documentary. And, you know, I happen to be a real fan of folk music, particularly the era of Pete Seeger and Smithsonian Folkways, which at the time was called Folkways Recordings.
Right.
And just sort of love that, you know, life of American history, and this was a real powerful film in just, you know, talking about the what Pete Seeger went through.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize how instrumental he was in cleaning up the Hudson River and spearheading the grassroots environmental movement. And I was totally unaware of the fact that he was blacklisted for 17 years. You know, because of his communist sympathies.
Right. No, he was an activist, and I think he came out of the Workers of the World movement, didn't he?
Yeah.
That's
exactly.
That's the way I remember it. But I have to say
during,
that
his time in Harvard as well. That's when it first started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was a great documentary. It's sort of a reminder that we don't see too much of that today.
Right. Yeah. Well, and you make a reference here. You say, with all due respect to Neil Young and the Dixie Chicks, the Dixie Chicks were dinged for such a mild comment. What did Natalie Maine say? Something about how she was performing in London and she apologized for having a president from Texas.
Right, exactly. And certainly their songs at the time were not, they were not as outspoken in their songs as Pete Seeger was during his time.
Yeah.
So I was just trying to say that, what we may come to understand today is protest music is certainly not what some people may have grown up with. And, you know, I do recognize, you know, Michael Franti and Spearhead and artists like that. But I think that, you know, like I said in the story, over the past 5 years, there really just hasn't been anyone that has demonstrated or that type of passion to really just get people motivated. And watching this documentary for me was truly, you know, Pete Seeger actually walks the walk.
So it's called Pete Seeger, The Power of Song, and according to the item at the bottom of your column, it's playing right now in New York and in Los Angeles.
Right.
Okay. You know about any yeah, any wider
but
distribution?
I do recommend it. I think it was great, and it was really inspirational.
Great. Jason Leopold with us from truthout.org. He is also the author of a memoir called News Junkie, and that describes him. So let's dive into this big breaking story this week, Jason. We spent the first hour of our show with two great writers named Jonathan. Jonathan Schell, whose new book is called The Seventh Decade, The New Shape of Nuclear Danger. And Jonathan Landay, who is the McClatchy reporter based in Washington, who a month ago wrote a powerful article flatly stating that Iran does not pose a serious threat and does not have an active nuclear weapons program at this time.
Right. Yeah, it's that's pretty fascinating. You know, I'm reminded of the many, at least three that I can recall, investigative pieces from Seymour Hersh over the past few years. That, that you know, that stated that you know, certainly that the White House or that the Bush administration was very interested, eager to attack Iran, but there was just no intelligence to support the fact that there was an active that they had an active nuclear you know, capability.
So
I think that you know, this national intelligence estimate that came out on Monday, which is quite a surprise, because you would think that something like that from these various intelligence agencies would, you know, be whitewashed. So that was quite a surprise that that was released, and it was damning in terms of undercutting the administration's, you know, claims that Iran posed an imminent threat.
Now, do you think this is the reason why they had to send Cheney to the hospital last week and reset his ticker?
You know, yeah, he probably looked at it, and it caused his gave him some heart palpitation.
Yeah. I mean, just imagine how hacked off, totally pissed off Dick Cheney has to be that the inconvenient truth that's being forced out by his intelligence czar and his national security advisor directly contradicts the representations that he was making as recently as 2 weeks ago.
Right, yeah. And, you know, again, President Bush today claiming that, you know, he didn't see this or the, you know, most recently, it was during the past week, you know, that he saw this, and that just seems implausible.
Now, I didn't get to see his news conference today. Did you get to watch it, or have you seen
some
clips?
You know, basically what I took away from it, and I think that most people took away from it, is that despite the findings of the National Intelligence Estimate, President Bush said he's not going to remove the military. You know, options to use military force against Iran. What he'll use, what he would even think of using military force against is anyone's guess, because clearly they're not a threat. So it's unclear what he was referring to.
Yeah.
But he was none too happy regarding the, you know, the NIE. I think that's that was quite obvious. But it was also, you know, disappointing once again to see the press corps not being, say, a little more emotional about the fact that, you know, they were lied to. Again, we were lied to. And, you know, by and large, they just, you know, continue to reprint whatever the White House had spoon-fed them.
Now, did anybody get the courage and stand up and say, Mr. President, it was just at a news conference 6 weeks ago that you invoked World War III and, and changed the standard here because he lowered the bar by saying that at that point that Iran had the knowledge to create a nuclear weapon. Now, almost everybody with internet access has the knowledge to create a nuclear weapon.
That's right. That's absolutely true.
What did the president know and when did he know it?
Yeah, well, if that happened, if somebody did say that, perhaps I was in the bathroom because I didn't hear it. and I felt I was listening pretty closely. It was just, once again, press corps listening, but not challenging.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly not getting angry, about the various untruths that they were being told for months.
So Helen Thomas was not called on.
No.
Again.
No, and maybe they muted her mic because I'm sure she would have spoken up.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting because as you know I interviewed Valerie Plame.
Mm-hmm.
Valerie Plame Wilson a couple of weeks ago, and one of the things that she was working on was counterproliferation issues related to Iran.
Right.
And while she could not go into detail about the type of work that she was doing or what she had found, I think it's, I think I can safely say that I interpreted her response that Iran was not, pursuing or was not pursuing its nuclear capabilities or enriching uranium for peaceful means. I believe that based on the questions I asked her, she was under the impression that, they were very much wanted to, acquire a nuclear weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she did say that it would be in this country's best interest to pursue a diplomatic channel and engage in diplomacy with Iran. And she did say that because of the intelligence failures that led to the invasion of Iraq,
right,
that just made any sort of taking any sort of military action against Iran just seems quite difficult to do.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I felt that she was more or less trying to say that Iran really is a danger. And perhaps it is, down the road. But I think that this national intelligence estimate is going to make it quite difficult, for this administration at this point to pursue any sort of military strike.
Now, did Bush, you gave me the impression here that he left all options still on the table.
Yeah, I think he was absolutely clear about that. He did not admit any sort of defeat or, say, well, we got it wrong. Once again, we got it wrong. The fact that he continued to leave that military option on the table just, I think it left many people scratching their heads because what would we be pursuing a military option against?
I really think it's a violation of the leisure suit standards by President Ahmadinejad. I mean, those leisure suits have got to go, and if it takes a military assault, Jason, why would we hold
right
back?
Yeah. Well, look, it's interesting. If we just take a step back and, look at the issue that has come to the surface now, this really is identical in a sense, to what happened prior to the invasion of Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
The only difference is that
the truth came out.
Cheney, Hadley, Wolfowitz, and the whole host of neoconservatives were successful in getting the intelligence agencies, all of them, to to pump up the national intelligence estimate and certainly make it appear that Iraq was a grave threat. That's exactly what they were trying to do here. I mean, this intelligence estimate was under wraps for a year. This is something that they, you know, they determined in 2003.
Well, you can just imagine in Cheney's office, damn, if we just had a curveball in Iran.
Or could... Judith Miller.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, I mean, but that is exactly, I think that's part of the difference this time around. You know, we don't have the entire press corps out there stating that, you know, that Iran was, you know, did not have its, you know, was not anywhere near acquiring a nuclear weapon. But we did have some people out there, and they kept, you know, they kept the pressure on.
Got to take a break, Jason Leopold. We'll return in just a moment. Read his work at truthout.org. And you can call the program now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. We'll take a call or two in the next segment here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
If you like people who talk funny, listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning on AM 540 KRXA. Ah!
Terry McCarter of Clarion Mortgage is a lifelong resident of Monterey County and a truly dedicated, caring real estate and mortgage professional. With many years of experience, Terry always goes the extra mile for her clients. During your initial consultation, Terry gets to know your preferences and needs and then helps you choose the loan program that most precisely meets them. Terry takes the time to explain all details of the various options open to you, including any potential risks, and guides you through the mortgage process. If you're too swamped at your desk to stop by during the work hours, make a weekend appointment with Terry or see her after hours. Terry McCarter is your real estate and mortgage professional. Her offices are conveniently located in Salinas at 1271 North Davis Road, just across from Applebee's. Call Terry at 578-0773, 831-578-0773.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffeehouse in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
When is eating organic not good enough? Healthy food pioneer Glenn Brooks and farm expert John Wood take you steps beyond organic when you tune into Food is Medicine right here on KRXA 540. Organic feed in your beef and poultry are every bit as dangerous and damaging as traditional animal feeds. Find out why it's so important for the animals you eat to have a nutritious diet. Restaurant guide, recipes, and taste challenge included. Join us Saturdays at 10 a.m. right here on KRXA 540.
All right, it's time to take a look at a little traffic, and we've got plenty of it to get to. In fact, let's tell you a little about what's going on right now. Checking our, and yeah, let's see, that's our computer comes up here. Here it is. It's Rio Del Mar, southbound one after Del Mar Boulevard. Several boxes in the right lane. Santa Cruz County Highway 1 at Ocean Boulevard. A motorhome and a car involved in a crash. And although, again, CHP does tell us that these are possibly stalled vehicles, which is a little strange. Soquel Drive at 41st, two vehicles partially blocked the roadway. Again, they're stalled. Also want to mention Santa Clara County Highway 9 at Skyline Boulevard, two vehicles off the roadway. A fire engine arrived on scene. It was also hit. The roadway is blocked in both directions.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show with investigative reporter Jason Leopold from truthout.org.
I was walking a ribbon of highway. I saw above me an endless skyway. I saw below me a golden valley. Yeah, this land was made for you and me. I won't ramble.
Jason, Folkies for 50. Can you name that song?
Well, I know it's a Woody Guthrie song.
You're right. This land is your land. Yeah. Okay. I often confuse it. I thought it was a Pete Seeger song.
But yeah.
Actually, Woody wrote that one.
Yeah.
And that's an update by Everclear.
Pete Seeger, Everclear, great band. Pete Seeger and Woody Guthrie were in a band called the Almanac Singers.
Oh, really?
Back in the 40s. Big union activist type band.
Uh-huh. Gosh, you must be really ancient.
Yeah.
Pat is on the line from Redwood City. Welcome, Pat. You're on with Peter B. and Jason Leopold.
Hello. I actually have an answer to a question that you asked Jason a few moments ago.
Great.
Oh, sure.
Bush was indeed asked about his thoughts about his comment about saying World War III.
Oh, okay. I wasn't about to laugh.
Well, you got to go sometime.
And, he was asked whether or not anyone had kind of told him after the comment whether he should ratchet down the conversation, and his answer was that no one told him. Now, this is incredibly frightening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you think about, what do these people tell Bush after he's made a comment? Let's say he's made a comment that nuclear missiles are in the air. And they find out they're not.
Right.
Is anyone going to tell him before he pushes the button?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think this really. I'm glad you mentioned that, and thanks for clarifying that he was asked. But I think that this is important in the context that we can't assume that Bush is telling the truth at all, ever, at this point. I think that even if he's told don't say that, I think he will just defy what any advice he gets from any of his advisors and will basically say what he wants.
Can we assume that his comments have any information behind them whatever?
Right. Yeah, I think that this administration has demonstrated that they'll not just spin, but that they'll just outright lie, in order to, the ends justify the means. They'll, in order to get their way. And I think that clearly, Bush, Cheney, Hadley, they all knew what the National Intelligence Estimate said, and what their interest was in starting a war with Iran and scaring the heck out of people.
And, gentlemen, what appears most inconvenient here is that Ahmadinejad has more or less been telling the truth.
Yes, and just like deja vu, Iraq, when someone says, no, I don't have any nuclear programs, we go, no, you're lying.
Right.
And they bomb you whether you, can't show proof or show proof.
Right.
Yeah.
Prove the negative or it's shock and awe, brother.
Yeah. Yeah, I just wonder how, whether if this was not a, so-called lame duck presidency, whether the various intelligence agencies would have, stood firm. Because, we know that they were pressured early on prior to the Iraq War and caved into that pressure. And this time around, I'd be very interested to see, or at least hear how things changed.
Pat, thank you for your call today. I appreciate that. Now, Jason, what other kind of reaction have you seen in Washington and among the Democrats to this rather remarkable admission in this National Intelligence Estimate?
Well, to be perfectly honest, the reaction that I've seen has been quite muted. I think that what Democrats, I've been looking at the, the various statements that have come out, and they've been, few and far between. So it seems that many of the leaders, much of the Democratic leadership is more or less just, talking about the their plans for the, days ahead. And that includes, health care. I've received a notice yesterday about an economic summit that some of the leadership has been attending, but nothing really that that I've seen that made me take notice of the fact that they were paying particularly close attention to this. I think that they're definitely still dealing with the war supplemental and what to do about that, and the fact that programs Bush is basically holding, you know, the budget hostage. So
Here's a quote.
Maybe a delayed reaction.
Here's a quote in today's New York Times from Clinton's National Security Director, Lee Feinstein. He said the report's findings expose the latest effort by the Bush administration to distort intelligence to pursue its ideological ends. And then, this is a spinner, he added that the report vindicates Mrs. Clinton's approach, which he described as vigorous American-led diplomacy, close international cooperation, and effective economic pressure. Now, her vote on Kyle Lieberman is wrong.
Right.
And they're saying, oh, it vindicates her position of tough sanctions and all that.
Yeah.
That's
doesn't say much to me. You know, if anything, you know, your eyes glaze over.
Well, and it's similar to the remarkable comment that Bill Clinton made last week that he's been against the war all along.
Right.
Thanks for telling us, Bill.
Yeah, thanks for that. Really appreciate it, Bill.
Jason, thank you for joining us today, and recommend your Pete Seeger article to people. It's up at truthout.org today. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Thanks. Take care.
Jason Leopold from Truthout. Coming up next, Melanie Sloan unveils a new report. It's actually going to be released tomorrow about the mess at Homeland Security. And we'll take your calls the remainder of the hour in the Free Speech Zone here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hemp, the superfood for you and your family. Hemp has nutritional values that far exceed any known plant. Hemp, used for food, clothing, and shelter since time began. Hemp. This God-given food source is controlled by your government, making it not legal to grow for American people and farmers, but legal to import. Our founding fathers grew hemp because they knew of the benefits it offered. The protein powder, seeds, and oil are available through hempusa.org. Recommended daily intake of this food source will allow the body to heal itself from many ailments. Loaded with potassium, magnesium, calcium, essential fatty acids, amino acids, and nutrients not available in other plants. Hemp can be stored with a long shelf life as a life-sustaining food source for you and your family. Could this be the government's best-kept secret? Call today at 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Learn. Help. Shop at hempusa.org. We do not charge for shipping. That's 908-691-2608 or go to hempusa.org.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540.
Hey, this is Stephanie Miller. You're listening to the station that encourages you to think for yourself. What a concept. AM 540, KRXA.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Credit card companies and why they do the things they do were the subject of a congressional hearing today. And as CBS News correspondent Chip Reed reports, there were some horror stories.
My husband and I feel as though we've been robbed.
Janet Hart always paid at least the minimum payment on time. But without warning, last year her interest rate suddenly jumped from 18 to 24%. Why? Because her credit rating dropped for reasons that had nothing to do with her credit card. That triggered an automatic rate increase that was applied to her existing balance.
When I look at the money that we have paid to Discover during just the last 2 years, I feel sick.
In the past 2 years, she's paid well over $5,000, more than $3,000 of it in interest.
Discover has reduced Hard's interest rate from 24% to 18%, but it and Bank of America say they'll continue to raise rates when customers' credit scores go down. Capital One says it doesn't do that, and Citigroup and Chase promised to discontinue the practice. After two consecutive Pacific storms, Washington Governor Chris Gregoire says they're only beginning the recovery.
Cleanup will go on for months, literally for months.
More from CBS News correspondent Bill Whitaker.
Throughout the region, all day and all night, the National Guard stayed busy running nonstop rescue missions, saving hundreds of people from flooded houses and cars in Washington State alone.
People standing outside their houses, all their stuff floating down the road.
The 1-2 punch of back-to-back storms are the worst people here can remember. The scope of the devastation is staggering. At least 7 people dead, 111,000 people in 2 states left without power. Houses, roads, whole blocks, whole communities underwater.
Water everywhere. The whole house is completely filled with water.
The storm system's dumping heavy snow on the northern plains now. The White House now confirms President Bush will visit the Middle East in early January, part of his effort to keep the Israeli-Palestinian peace talks on track. At a news conference this morning, the president made his first public comments on that new intelligence about Iran. CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer has that.
President Bush believes Iran still poses a threat to the world despite the dramatically revised intelligence report showing it halted its nuclear weapons effort 4 years ago.
Iran will be dangerous if they have the knowledge necessary to make a nuclear weapon.
While the revised intel found Iran does not have that deadly know-how, the president says what he describes as the re-evaluation is a warning signal. He notes Iran could start the program again. Peter Mayer, CBS News, The White House.
Actor Dennis Quaid's newborn twins were accidentally given massive overdoses of blood thinner in a Los Angeles hospital. Now Quaid and his wife are suing the maker of heparin. They say Baxter Healthcare was negligent in packaging different doses of the drug in similar vials. The Dow, 65 points lower today. The Nasdaq down 17. This is CBS News.
Hi, I'm a Han Initiate office cubicle, and I'm green. Actually, I'm a rather fetching color we like to call sage. Very slimming, goes with anything. But I'm all green on the inside because I'm made with this stuff called Nature Core, which is mostly just compressed organic fibers, which is good for you, good for the planet, and good for me because synthetics, they make me itchy.
For over 60 years, Han has worked to improve office furniture and reduce its environmental impact. Visit GetHan.com. GetHON.com. Han. Smart now, smarter later.
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed. It's one small step for man.
We interrupt this report for an important news bulletin. You can now purchase original Dell ink and toner at Staples. Now, back to that other thing.
Finally, some news to get excited about. Staples is the only store to carry every original Dell ink cartridge, plus a wide selection of Dell computers, printers, monitors, and toner, too. Or visit us at staples.com for the same great selection. Staples, that was easy.
People in the Southeast might find this hard to believe right now, but researchers say climate change has brought more rain to the country as a whole. CBS News correspondent John Harchie has the story.
We're seeing the impact of global warming now, according to a new study.
Storms with heavy precipitation are 24% more frequent in the U.S. now than they were 60 years ago.
Environment America's Ana Aurelio says these heavy precipitation events, rain and snow, appear likely to become even more prevalent.
At the rate we're going, what was once the storm of the decade will soon seem like just another downpour.
The environmental group is pushing Congress to pass pollution reduction legislation with targets intended to reduce global warming. John Harchie, CBS News, Washington.
Tennessee Christmas tree grower Danny Tipton sells his tallest trees for about $100 each, but he's out some serious money this year. Someone with a chainsaw shortened more than two dozen of the tallest trees on his farm, apparently planning to sell the tops. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
This holiday season, give the most eternal, unique gift of the year. Name a star after someone. I'm Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, we'll name a star after anyone on your gift list. The star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office, and we will send an incredible personalized gift package. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com for the gift that shines forever.
Are aches and pains still keeping you up? Here's a nice surprise. Advil PM gives you a better night's sleep than Tylenol PM because you'll spend less time lying awake with annoying aches and pains and more time asleep. Get the multi-pain relieving power of Advil plus a non-habit forming sleep aid to gently ease you into a full night's sleep. So switch from Tylenol PM to Advil PM. Less time lying awake, more time asleep. Use only as directed. Brands or trademarks of the respective owners.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
We're heading into the free speech zone this hour where your calls and comments are welcome. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. 888-573-8372. But first, we get an update from Washington. Melanie Sloan has been busy. She and the crew at CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, will reveal to the public an important report, and we're getting an advance peek at it this evening here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Melanie, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Peter. Nice to be back.
You have been busy, and the thing I want from the Department of Homeland Security is one of those credit cards with a $500,000 limit.
I know. It's pretty much astounding, the problems that are going on over at the Department of Homeland Security. And, in fact, your audience is the first person, are the first to hear about our new report, which is coming out tomorrow.
So tell us how long you've been working on this, and give us a quick sketch of how you put it together, how it was compiled.
We have been working on it for most of the past year, realizing that the fifth-year anniversary of the Department of Homeland Security is now upon us. And you read an article here and there about the problems at Homeland Security, particularly FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Administration, but it's not really all compiled in one place to give you a full picture of the problems at DHS. And frankly, we can't give you a full picture either because the problems are so enormous and so widespread. But what we have done is, in honor of the fifth-year anniversary, we've created five categories. We tell you what the worst is in each category and then give a dishonorable mention. For example, the most troubled component of DHS is clearly FEMA, but a dishonorable mention goes to the Transportation Safety Administration, which is, in fact, not doing its part to keep us safer.
Right.
There's the most outrageous contract is something called Deepwater, which is a Coast Guard contract, which has cost literally billions. And, in fact, people built boats out of, and you will pardon that this is, in fact, not a joke, concrete.
Yeah.
There's a dishonorable mention for something called a contract regarding radiation detection portal monitors, where they've spent hundreds of millions of dollars on these monitors. They're supposed to detect radiation that first don't work, and then they've decided to upgrade, so they've spent millions and hundreds of millions more, and the new machines are no more effective than the old machines.
Mm-hmm. But Melanie, you don't seem to appreciate that the Department of Homeland Security is the lingering monument to George W. Bush's smaller government commitment.
No, in fact, I really don't appreciate that. What I appreciate about it is that George Bush is constantly telling us how we don't have money for children's health insurance and we don't have money for veterans care, but we have billions to waste on programs that actually just have never worked as intended on money spent by the Department of Homeland Security, on spent with contractors, huge contractors like Boeing that are also big Bush donors.
Yeah. Well, and it is an unmanageable compilation of agencies that existed before 9/11 and some things that have kind of been layered over that. But I would certainly not want to be the cabinet-level director of the Department of Homeland Security.
No, it's a pretty thankless job, although I have to say Michael Chertoff, the director of it now, the cabinet secretary, has gotten fairly great press over the past couple of years, despite the fact that Hurricane Katrina and the resulting disastrous response by the Department of Homeland Security was all on his watch.
Right.
And all of these problems at Homeland Security are all under his watch, and neither he's being tagged with it, nor is the Bush administration itself. This is one of his signature programs, this and No Child Left Behind, and here it is, and you know, then there's Iraq and but that it's just a complete and total disaster. One thing that we really hope to come out of this report is, if you think about it, in all the debates we've heard, the presidential candidates talk about how the Department of Homeland Security isn't working, but none of them offer solutions. They offer comprehensive health care solutions and all sorts of other plans, but we need a comprehensive plan how they're going to fix the Department of Homeland Security, and that's what we're really looking for here.
And, Melanie, this is hoping against all hope. It's been 5 years now, but is there any chance they'll change the name of the department? It just sounds so Germanic.
You know, I'm with you. I have thought that since day one. I have never liked the name. And you say that to people, and they look a little puzzled. But, you know, that was certainly what the Third Reich referred to, the homeland.
Yeah.
And it do makes me uncomfortable. But, no, I sense no even discomfort in Washington with the name. But, you know, far more important even is than the name is the fact that this is an agency charged with keeping us all safer, and it is not doing that. In fact, it is just giving us it's the cover. It's pretend that we think we're safer because we have it, and yet it's a disaster.
Yeah. Now, let's just take one element here, because we recently had this oil spill on San Francisco Bay, and the Coast Guard's response was not perfect. I don't want to jam them because, you know, they have their hands full in many respects. But the argument has been made that there isn't a clear line of authority over the Coast Guard anymore, that in some respects it appears to be controlled by the Pentagon when it comes to the paramilitary effort that they mount to protect our ports and our sea coasts. And at the same time, they have a traditional responsibility. I'm a sailor, and they used to rescue wayward boaters, but they don't do that anymore. So what is the chart? What is the structure under DHS? And is the Coast Guard a full component of the Department of Homeland Security, or is it somehow bifurcated between defense and DHS?
No, it is a full component of the Department of Homeland Security. The Coast Guard has sort of always been a stepchild, though, never treated with that much respect. So that may be why you see some of those problems that you see there. But, it's hardly alone. I mean, something that the Department of Homeland Security obviously takes very seriously is the Transportation Safety Administration. And it is, a disaster. We're all putting our shoes through metal detectors now, and yet there recently the Government Accountability Office did a test and found that people could actually sneak bombs right through security without too much of a problem.
Well, in your summary, you cite the LAX, Los Angeles International Airport, missing 75% of the test bombs or other packages that were put there to test them. And we went to an interesting source, Melanie, a guy named Steve Elston, who is no longer with the FAA. But prior to 9/11, he ran their red team, and his job was to go through airport security and look for flaws and vulnerabilities. Well, when I called up Steve Elston and said, hey, there's a new report that says they missed 75% at LAX, he said, that's a lie. He said, it's at least 95%. And that really stunned me. But he said that even in the monitoring that he and colleagues have done on a casual basis since 9/11, he's been able to crack through these security operations left and right.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. And I just wanted to draw your listeners' attention also to U.S. Visit, because this is really such an upsetting program. Just in the sheer dollars that have been wasted, about $1.3 billion has been spent on this program that has actually never worked. It was intended, Congress had passed legislation to create a system to track all the people who entered and left the United States. And although they managed to track some of the people who entered, they couldn't ever come up with a system to track those who left. So although, you know, if people come in through customs, they see these U.S. Visit computers and signage. There's actually nothing tracking all the people who come and leave the United States, although $1.3 billion has been spent on this program.
Yeah. Utterly amazing. Now, Melanie, if you could put a ballpark dollar figure on the amount of money that we're squandering each year at DHS, what would that be?
You know, frankly, I just don't know, because, of course, they're trying to hide this from all of us the best they can. I mean, just in the few programs and the few contracts we looked at in this past year, we've learned that several billion dollars has been wasted. And that is not million, that is billions of dollars have been wasted down the drain, taxpayer dollars that have never been used effectively. And again, it means that children's health insurance can't be paid for, but billions of dollars can be spent with Boeing on a program we can't use.
Now, just in the past week or two, the Bush administration has angered, for example, Senator Boxer from California by announcing that they want to cut by as much as 30% the DHS funding for counterterrorism on the domestic front. And in California, the hit would be about $200 million a year. Now, I don't believe that every one of those dollars is being wisely spent. For example, some fire departments got some Homeland Security money and used it to buy gym equipment as a way to keep the guys all buffed up, for any terrorist emergency. I think that's a stretch. But it appears that you here are reporting a fairly massive pattern of fraud and mismanagement at DHS. And at the same time, Bush seems to be prepared to cut that spending, even without figuring out what works and what doesn't.
That's exactly right, because they're still, for example, spending on a program called SBINet, which is supposed to be creating a virtual fence to keep all the immigrants out. But that, too, isn't working. But because a Republican congressman from Kentucky, Hal Rogers, loves this program, and it's, in fact, a lot of the technology is being built in Kentucky, that's going to keep on getting funded to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars. Again, down the toilet, you and I will never see any benefit.
Mm-hmm. Well, Melanie, I think you're going to have a really splashy news conference tomorrow.
Well, I'm just hoping that people will pay attention and that, you know, as we're nearing the end of the Bush presidency, that at least the presidential candidates of whatever party take heed and start telling us, the American people, what they're going to do to fix this problem, because it's a mess they're going to inherit.
Yeah. And can I give out this new web address for the report?
It won't be active till midnight, but then it will be up.
Okay, it's homelandsecurityforsale.org, and four is spelled out. Homelandsecurityforsale.org. And did anybody else collaborate, or is this a completely crew production?
This is completely a crew production, but there will be a short film that will be on the website tonight by Robert Greenwald and Brave New Films. He's the producer of Outfoxed and Walmart Watch movies.
Yeah.
And he's made a movie to accompany the report.
Oh, that's great. Let's sneak in a quick comment here. Jen in Sacramento wants to talk about this. Welcome, Jen. You're on with Peter B. and Melanie Sloan.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Just really quick, it's a mess because it's intended to be a mess. It's a ruse. It is a way to filter money. I work for the state, and what they would do is simply is direct money to a certain program and then redirect it once they got allocated for the funds. And so it's just on a global, as far as the United States is concerned, and it's disgusting, and they know now that we can't do anything about it, so they could care less what information you're providing to us.
Now, give me an example, Jen, of this, redirection of funds.
Well, for example, when you're working for the state of California, every employee is allotted training time, and this money is supposed to go for their training, and then when the money's allotted, instead of them being allowed to go training, they take the money and they redirect it, and then the people cannot go and get the training. They're just stuck doing their job and learning on their own.
Wow. So is this specific to DHS, or is this government federal to state contracts in general, in your view?
It's in general, but specifically for state. Federal is another entity all on its own, and it has its own faults and errors. But under Schwarzenegger, I'm from California, and under Schwarzenegger, they have it actually very bad in taking funds and saying it's going in one direction, and as soon as it's allocated, it gets put back into another pot, and nobody ever sees the money.
Very interesting. Melanie, a quick comment?
Well, it is certainly we're seeing a huge problem with contractors. So much of what happens at DHS is about contracting, and the contracts are widespread, and they go to mostly to big Republican donors.
Yeah. Melanie, thanks for your time, and I really appreciate the work you're doing there at Crew. We'll talk again soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Very good. That's Melanie Sloan, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. She just gave us the exclusive scoop on the report that will be issued tomorrow, and it'll be up at midnight Eastern at homelandsecurityforsale.org. Up next, it's your calls here in the Free Speech Zone. Grab a line and we'll talk at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, The Peter B. Collins Show.
Cruise Comedy Hour at the Quumba Jazz Center this Friday, December 7th. I'm your humble host, Richard Stockton.
And I don't just sleep in my car. I wake up in the neighborhood of my choice.
Live comedian Andrew Norelli.
Don't turn the lights on. I was going to take her home.
The Planetoids, the Great Morgani, and Ukulele Dick.
My Ukulele
Peter
Dick.
Peter B. Collins.
The Outpatient Player. They let the players out.
All comedically capturing the spirit of Santa Cruz. It's Friday, December 7th at the Columba. Be sure and buy your tickets early. That's at Gateway's Books, Streetlight Records.
Ooh, save my bucks.
You're going to laugh your glutes off.
Hi, this is Peter B. Collins. I'll be showing up Friday night in Santa Cruz for the Planet Cruise Comedy Hour, so why don't you? I want to see a contingent from Monterey and Pacific Grove. And I'm not sure what Richard Stockton has in mind, but you just heard him use the humble host moniker. Lawsuits will be filed. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years. and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth.
If you like Dr. people Turner's to talk, caring like, attitude listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning on AM 540 KRXA.
Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year and the fact that we can offer estate quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
It's all the excitement of a presidential primary right here on the Central Coast. Come to the first presidential primary in the nation in Salinas Sunday, December 9th. It's a Democratic presidential straw poll with representatives of the Democratic campaigns and hundreds of their supporters packing the floor. The first presidential primary in the nation, Sunday, December 9th from noon to 5 at Sherwood Hall in Salinas. Information at MontereyCountyDemocrats.org or 262-0367. That's MontereyCountyDemocrats.org or 262-0367.
All right, folks, it is that time. Welcome to the big traffic report. We're going to talk a little about Del Monte 4, a 17-mile drive. It looks like, they're saying 17-mile drive at Cypress. We have several parked cars partially blocking the roadway there. Soquel Drive at 41st, two-vehicle crash, partially blocking the roadway. Prunedale, Meridian Road westbound after Dyer. It's a partially jackknife. Everything's partially today. Partially jackknife, big rig blocking lanes. Monterey, northbound 1 before Munras. Large piece of plastic in the left lane. Toyota owners, through December 15th, visit a Toyota dealer and donate any toy worth $10 or more and receive a $9.95 oil and filter change. See participating dealer for details. That is traffic on KRXA.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, officially in the free speech zone here. Your calls and comments are welcome. Any subject, any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice, and I pay for the call. It's toll-free, 888-5, Peter B. I just got that big bill in the mail today. 888-573-8372. We've talked about a lot today, Iran policy. The National Intelligence Estimate that confirms the reporting of Jonathan Landay, who is on our program from the McClatchy Washington Bureau, that Iran is not, at this time, developing a nuclear weapons program. And I don't play the Iranians out to be benign or even peaceniks, but I do think that it's fair to say that Bush and Cheney have seriously and severely overstated, hyped, if you will, or perhaps even outright lied about the nature of the threat that's posed to us by Iran. And after the upcoming break, I'm going to run down for you some comments from Democratic presidential candidates, mostly attacking Hillary Clinton for her support for the Kyle Lieberman resolution just about a month or two ago. But first, we go to the phones here at 888-5 Peter B. Get things started in the free speech zone. And I know we have a caller on the line, David in Carmichael. Welcome, David. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm one of the first to say how nice it was to hear Melanie Sloan and to know that she's out there fighting and reporting everything that's going on with the said Bush administration. But I would like to comment on the wonderful pay raise that our legislators have just voted themselves. I cannot believe that they do this to us time and time again. It seems to me as though they begged and they pleaded and they asked for my vote. So they're there working for me. I took a poll at my job today, and everyone said, okay, let's vote ourselves a raise. But my boss didn't see it that way. Teachers don't have enough money. to buy paper and pencils for their classrooms, and yet these people continually give themselves pay raises. I just don't understand the audacity they have to do the things they do right here in Sacramento.
Well, you know, I only heard a radio report on this, so I'm looking right now. By the way, just a handy tip for people. There's a great website that collects all of the political reports in California newspapers every day in one location. It's called Rough and Tumble, and the web address is rtumble.com. It's just the word tumble, like rolling over, rtumble.com. So I'm scrolling down here looking for the pay raise for legislators story. Do you know how much it was, David?
I believe it was $16,000.
$16,000 a year?
That's what I heard.
Wow.
But even beyond that, their perks that they get, you know, I realize a lot of them come from all over the state and they need help with housing. That's fine. I don't mind helping them with housing.
Yeah.
But they also get an allotment to help them lease a car.
That's right.
And
they get a free car.
All of the cars that they lease are Cadillac Escalades, you know, Ford Explorers. You know, I got a job, and I have to drive my own car back and forth to work.
Yeah.
I don't understand why these people don't have the same responsibilities that I do.
Well,
as a public service. We're not there.
Just to be fair, David, there are quite a few now who drive Priuses and other hybrids because they're conscious of how you feel about that, and they know that people have picked up that they buy expensive cars and gas guzzlers and charge it to the taxpayers. So the ones who are conscious, either simply out of self-interest to avoid doing something embarrassing or because they are more enlightened, they have stopped leasing the Cadillacs and the SUVs.
Well, thank goodness. And I have one question for you before I let you go.
All right.
What more have you heard about my representative, Mr. John Doolittle? Is he actually not going to run again? I pray.
You know, he hasn't said that yet, but most recently either his chief of staff or a top communications guy left, and the investigation continues. So he's clearly compromised, and I believe that party leaders are trying to get him to step aside and let another Republican run. So far, I haven't heard a resolution of that. David, thanks for your call. More calls coming up after the break. Call me, 888-5-PETER-B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scone. Everything so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a killer affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew. A side of couscous and a bottle of ganoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Or have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos on the Christmas season.
We have the tree, we have refreshments. It's turned out to be a really big season for us.
Someone was in the other day who was telling their companion who had been there for the first time that, oh, and they also do Christmas, and you should see it with all the lights. It's just beautiful. So.
It's one of the prettiest times of the year.
Yeah. Christmas is fun. I mean, we start to kick off with the, for the season, the first weekend in November with an open house, and we have homemade refreshments. In December, we have a live green wreath workshop where people can come and make their own green wreaths.
Call us at 685-1626, and we keep lists of anyone who's interested in the classes. Schedule them accordingly. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1, heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn. If you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find. The Potting Shed.
Gifts for gardeners and everyone. We're hard to find, but it's worth it.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And be part of Peter B.'s America.
Bomb, 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 bomberan.
Bomb, 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 bomberan.
Yes, bomberan.
Looks like Dick Cheney may not get his wish.
So are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we.
Lines are open if you'd like to comment on this reversal of fortunes for the Bush administration. Their own intelligence community has basically thrown up a huge roadblock to the desire of Dick Cheney and I guess George W. Bush to engage in a military confrontation with Iran. And I think this is great news. There's also interesting reaction among the Democratic candidates for president who appeared in the last day or so on an NPR radio debate. And it's interesting. I'm going to run down the comments for you here, and I'd like to hear from you. All my lines are open right now, so don't hesitate if you'd like to join me at 888-573-8372. Hillary Clinton is clearly getting the brunt of the criticism from her fellow Democrats because she's quite vulnerable, having voted for the Kyle Lieberman resolution back in late September, early October. And this is really coming back to haunt her. So the Democrats uniformly criticized Bush's rhetoric toward Iran. But former North Carolina Senator John Edwards said Clinton's September vote for a resolution urging the administration to label the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps as a terrorist organization amounted to agreement with Bush's worldview on terrorism. She sharply objected, quote, "I understand politics and I understand making outlandish political charges, but this really goes way too far." Hillary went on, "Having designated the Iranian Revolutionary Guard a terrorist organization, we've actually seen some changes in their behavior." Now, this is a whopper. This is a big whopper. This is an outlandish political claim by the senator from New York. And here's Joe Biden with a quick rejoinder. There's no evidence, none, zero, that this declaration caused any change in action on the part of the Iranian government. And in fact, the national intelligence estimate is clear. Our intelligence agencies believe that Iran stopped its efforts to develop a nuclear bomb in 2003. So to claim that a non-binding resolution passed by the Senate in September of 2007 produced that result?
Hillary, I think we call that a time warp, lady.
Other comments? Barack Obama said that while Iran remains a threat to its neighbors, the administration needed a new policy. Quote, "It's absolutely clear that this administration and President Bush continue to not let facts get in the way of his ideology. They should have stopped the saber rattling, should have never started it. And they need now to aggressively move to the diplomatic front." So this is a very strong commentary, and I happen to agree with Obama and Biden, whom I've quoted so far, because, number one, the Kyle Lieberman resolution was used by the Bush administration to take a step forward further toward a confrontation with Iran through this bizarre step of declaring a part of the military of Iran as a terrorist group. Many people believe that this was a way to use the existing laws that were passed by Congress in response to 9/11 and the authorization to use military force against Iraq, because the president appears to believe that he's authorized to do almost anything to take on terrorism, and therefore, if Iran's army includes terrorists, we can attack Iran's army. We can attack the whole nation. Well, that logic is falling apart. Can I correct myself right now? It's not logic. That argument has fallen apart. And while I have not yet seen the president's news conference from earlier today, from the reports I've seen, heard, and read, it appears that he is unapologetic and off on, you know, some orbit of his own regarding Iran. So I think this is a very interesting development, and it really could be the tipping point for the Clinton campaign, because her vulnerabilities, you know, I believe that the driver's license question that was popped on her in Philadelphia was, you know, very, how can I put it, it had limited relevance to the national debate for the presidential campaigns. Yet that has, you know, driven people to reevaluate Hillary Clinton's posture. And some of the underlying polling that is coming out of Iowa right now shows that, for example, large numbers of people believe that she is too egotistical, too ambitious. And when they compare her to Obama and Edwards, for example, she has a huge lead in being described as too ambitious, too ego-driven. So I think that her inevitability has evaporated. And we're seeing a spirited competition. Barack Obama does seem to be best poised to defeat Clinton in both Iowa and potentially in New Hampshire. But John Edwards is a, you know, he seems to be stuck in third place. And just maybe this set of circumstances that embarrass Clinton over her vote on the Kyle Lieberman resolution and leave the rest of us wondering why she would have supported the Bush administration when we now know that Iran has not been a threat in terms of its efforts to actively develop a nuclear weapon since 2003. We'll take more of your calls here in just a second. We've got one line taken, but that's a lot of lines open, so don't be shy. Grab that fancy cell phone, give me a call, and tell me what's on your mind. And please don't wait until the last 5 minutes of the hour, because that's when we often get a flood of calls and people are disappointed that there isn't enough time to get to all of you. 888-5-PETER-B. And to David and Carmichael, who joined us a few minutes ago, I did find a story on the web here about the California legislature, and in fact everybody in Sacramento is being handed a raise this year. And I had forgotten that a few years ago we passed Proposition 112 in 1990. And this took the choice of pay raises away from the legislature and conveniently parked it at an independent citizens commission. And it is that commission that authorized raises for legislators, about $3,100 to a total of $116,000 a year. The salary for constitutional officers, including Lieutenant Governor Garamendi, Treasurer Bill Lockyer, Controller John Chung, and Secretary of State Deborah Bowen, they get a modest increase of 2.75%, just a little bit below the cost of living increase. And they gave bigger raises, 5% raises, to Superintendent of Public Instruction Jack O'Connell and Attorney General Jerry Brown. Their salaries jumped to about $184,000 a year, and that is allegedly to keep those jobs competitive with the private sector. And Arnold's salary would be $212,000, but he doesn't need the money, and he does not take a paycheck from the people of California. Now to your phone calls here in the Free Speech Zone, and up here on line one, my screen is a little slow. It's Gary in Santa Cruz. Hi, Gary. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter.
Hi, Gary.
This call is concerning your previous guest, and we were talking about the issues with Iran.
Right.
And I'm wondering why the fear is always just with us, and Europe's not worried about them, nor China or Russia. Why is it just us?
Well, I think that Bush has been driving that, and so has Cheney. And if you look at it as a piece, Dave called the program earlier today, and he is on target. PNAC, the Project for a New America Century, New American Century, was the whole blueprint. And we have been looking for a pretext to discipline Iran, if not engage in military action with them, for a couple of years now. We've had at least two carrier groups in the Persian Gulf for the last 18 months.
Well, I'm curious why these other countries aren't responding to our to us just being in the vicinity.
Well, there are.
At least I'm not reading anything in the paper hearing much about it.
Gary, there are some reasonable explanations. China and Russia both do business with Iran. France gets some of its oil from Iran. And so they are trading partners, and they have not engaged in the same level of sanctions that the U.S. has tried to keep in place since 1979. And so they have a very different approach. The other thing, Gary, that you may be aware of is that Dick Cheney, before becoming Bush's vice president, was CEO of Halliburton.
Certainly.
Halliburton had an offshore company. I think it was chartered in the Cayman Islands, Halliburton International or something like that, that continued to do business with Iran, even though they were on a series of lists preventing American companies from directly doing business. So, hey, Halliburton just charters a company offshore and says, well, it's legal to do business with Iran this way.
Well, I'd like to hear Waxman bring those issues up as well. You know, all of these things should be addressed, mm-hmm. and they just never seem to come up.
All right, Gary, thank you very much. We've got Ron in Davis now. The calls are coming in. I appreciate it. Ron, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Yeah, Peter, I was just on last night. Yeah, Gary, if you're still listening, don't read the newspapers. Forget looking at what Congress does and just start doing your own research, man. I'm reading a book right now called Deception, Peter. I don't know if you're familiar with it. It's all about A.Q. Khan and the development of the...
Well, we've had its co-author, Adrian Levy, on the program twice over the last month. We're inviting him to come back next week.
Oh, that's awesome.
Because what he has disclosed there is fascinating, and so far much of it is not duplicated by American media.
No, and he's, I don't know if you read the book, but it's...
I did.
it's astoundingly detailed. Mm-hmm. I mean, the footnotes are just over the top, so it's I really highly recommend people to read the book. For
well, and one of the most interesting things that they talk about, deception in their view, describes the U.S. relationship with Pakistan going back to the Reagan era.
That's right.
And so this is not a recent development just with Bush and Musharraf. We have been playing cat and mouse games with one another.
Well,
it's been a mutual kind of deception since the Reagan era.
Right.
Go ahead.
But my analysis is those were the years of what is called realpolitik, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, Reagan he was worried about the Soviets and his whatever, his legacy and all of that. So there was shush shush with the Pakistanis, and we were pumping billions into them, and talk about diverting money. They diverted right into AQ Khan's project up in Kuhara or wherever it is, right next to Islamabad.
Right.
Now, what the amazing thing we have now going is that it's not realpolitik that Bush and the neocons are playing, it's ideological. However, anytime anything comes out now, I have questions about it. For example, and I don't want to put, bugs in people's minds or anything, but it would be no problem at all for Iran or any other country on the planet right now, this is my guess, to get a full weapons system that's nuclear. And they could have it without having the centrifuges and so forth because of what AQ Khan did. So that's something else to think about.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this administration is afraid to really go into Pakistan and take it apart because of the billions we gave to them.
Well, it's not just that. That is a big piece of it. But we also know that we don't want to march in there because we'll get another occupation on our hands, and occupying Pakistan would be even more dicey than what we encountered in Iraq.
That would be World War III.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Ron, I got to run to a break. Thank you for calling today. I appreciate that. We'll take more of your calls here in the Free Speech Zone in just a moment. My toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B. My personal email, humblehost@peterbcollins.com. Use it. KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Jim's Restaurant is celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Join the party. Enjoy Jim's lunch specials for just $5.75 and dinner specials for only $6.50 per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering, too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Making the invisible, invisible, invisible.
Yeah. Several weeks ago, I saw UFOs over Monterey Bay using night vision equipment. If you want to see UFOs, contact me, Bob Oliver, and listen to the Bob Oliver Show, The Quantum Leap, Saturday mornings at 11 a.m. Recent polls show that 93% of the people do not trust our government. Tune in Saturday at 11 a.m. for answers and discussion. We are not alone. Our history books are not accurate. Call in, add your piece to the puzzle. Night vision goggles, UFOs. That's simple. Think for yourself. The Bob Oliver Show, The Quantum Leap, Saturday, 11 a.m. on Progressive Radio, KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
For my homeless faces, kick to the cracks of city places. Got plenty of space, so what's the basis?
At Homescapes Carmel, we search far and near to find the best locally made, American made, and imported furnishings the world has to offer. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Beau and I scour the globe to find unique, unusual, and unmatched merchandise to help you personalize your home and garden. We're proud to offer a variety of products such as cabinets, lamps, and vases made with bamboo, plantation teak, and other renewable and reclaimed resources. These items are beautiful, durable, and most of all, eco-friendly. So stop by Homescapes Carmel on the corner of 7th and Dolores, or visit homescapescarmel.com.
Alrighty, folks, it's time for the final traffic report of the night. We have a serious problem in Santa Clara County, Highway 9 at Skyline Boulevard. Two vehicles went off the road. A fire engine responded to the scene and was also hit. Now, the roadway is completely blocked in both directions. Fortunately, there were just minor injuries reported. Now, that road is not going to be reopened until about 6:30 tonight. And we had other fire crews also coming to the scene there because of the injuries there, along with paramedics and CHP. Out of, Salinas, we have a problem. Davis Road at Lemos Avenue, one of the lanes blocked because of a stall. Let's take a look at eastbound 129 between Watsonville and Aroma, slow and go traffic. Eastbound 25 is slow from Gilroy into Hollister. And this report is brought to you by Carfax. A flood-damaged car is like a ticking time bomb. Nearly half of these flood cars get fixed or resold. Go to
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. That's the Brian Setzer Orchestra. I had to pay $1.95 for that one.
When you're young and
Robin in Sacramento, thanks for calling the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, good afternoon, Peter. How are you, sir?
Doing okay, and thanks for not thanking me for taking your call.
You know, I've been listening to this going on here, and it occurred to me today, do you suppose there might be a possibility? Because, you know, after all, we have learned that out of this administration, nothing but deception has been, proven us that this is us, their game plan.
Robin, how can you be so cynical?
I'm sorry.
What's wrong with you?
I was thinking, suppose maybe they're working on some way to make Bush look good in the end. You know, maybe he'll go along with the intelligence that they've got on Iran. He's okay, I'll back down. And, I hate to quote Cheney, but do you suppose it might not be true? Remember, he said it's not a matter of if, but when we're struck again. You don't suppose they might not put something together and then put the Iranians' signature on it?
Well, that's a false flag operation, and I would not put it past them.
You know,
and so your concerns are very well placed, Robin, and forgive me for my tongue-in-cheek criticism of you.
Oh, that's fine.
but what we have here is a very dicey situation,
yeah.
And we can't trust these guys.
No.
And we don't know what kind of tricks they may have up their sleeves, but I believe that here's my favorite scenario, and this involves some speculation, obviously, because I'm here in California in a comfortable chair, and I don't know everything that they know. But as I look at it, I believe that Bush and Cheney have accepted reality, that the disturbances in Pakistan, the effort by Turkey to control the Kurds in northern Iraq, up to and including military action with airplanes and ground troops, that these have caused the Bushies to recognize that the time has run on their adventurism. And they simply don't have the latitude, we don't have the troops, they don't have the political support, they would have to borrow the money from China. It just all adds up to saying, we've had enough, and maybe they're actually recognizing that.
It's scary to think that, maybe one day here soon the old thing they had going on in the 60s was selling bomb shelters. We might need to start doing that again, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, thanks a lot.
All right, Robin. Oh, there you go. You had to do that, didn't you? Chris and Salinas, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
How you doing, Peter?
Not too bad.
Hey, during the NPR debate today between the Democrat candidates,
mm-hmm.
Democratic candidates, Edwards brought up Hillary's vote on the Kyle Lieberman. And she defended that by saying that since that vote, Iran has changed and its policies or its way of doing business over there.
Right.
Yet she offered absolutely no evidence of that. And then Joe Biden chimed in and said just that. Well, there's absolutely no evidence
mm-hmm.
that is the case. So, like you were saying, she's going to have a credibility problem here if she can't come up with the evidence that supports what she said, that Iran has changed its ways since that vote.
I think her real Achilles heel is that she politically is unable to admit making a mistake. And we've seen it on Iraq, that she, we now have Bill Clinton out there saying he was always against it, and I guess we're supposed to believe that at their swanky home in Chappaqua, New York, they huddled there and said, yeah, we're really against this, but let's not tell anybody. And so Hillary's tried to rewrite history relative to her positions on Iraq, and now she's getting squeezed on this one. And this one is too fresh. too obvious and has been seized upon by her opponents in a way that makes it very hard for her to escape. And I think that if she loses, and you know I hope she does, if she loses, this is going to be a major piece of it, that people look at it and they say she was wrong on that, the other people are right, and she cannot admit it, so she digs in deeper. And you're correct. Here's her quote. Having designated the Iranian Revolutionary Guard a terrorist organization, we've actually seen some changes in their behavior. Now, that's a pretty broad, generalized remark. She wants us to infer that they ended their nuclear weapons development program because of the Kyle Lieberman resolution. But there is this uncomfortable 4-year gap between when they stopped developing and when the Kyle Lieberman resolution was passed.
Well, they're using the Star Trek transporter thing to get them back and forth in time, I guess.
Is that it? All right.
All right, you take it easy.
All right, Chris, thanks for the call. Appreciate your point. Now to Nick over in Sacramento. Nick, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter B. Interesting conversation today. Two things. Let me just say one thing quickly, and then I'll get to the other point. The members of the California legislature have special license plates. And about 5 years ago, Kevin Shelley was going about 75, 80 miles an hour westbound on Interstate 80 west of Davis. And I tracked him, got out of his way after he was tailgating me, found out who he was, called his office, and got an apology. So, you know, when you've got an assembly plate number on your car, you really don't want to let the whole world know that you're tailgating and driving 75, 80 miles an hour.
Well, in my state, Senator Carol Migdon got herself in trouble. To be fair, she's been treated for leukemia,
right.
And as she explained it, she was on some meds and shouldn't have been driving, but she was behind the wheel, and she hit a guardrail and hit two cars, including a car that was carrying somebody to a health care center to be treated for leukemia.
Sure.
And it's at times like that that the vanity plates are probably a deep, deep mistake.
Yeah, exactly. The second point is that a couple weeks ago I was in San Francisco, and I happened to run into a guy. He had a university T-shirt on, and I went to the same university, and I asked him a couple questions, found out that the guy is from Iran, has been here since he was 13 years old, was going back to see family. And what they do is they fly Lufthansa, because Lufthansa flies in and out.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him, I said, what's going on over in Iran? And he said it's very, very unhappy. The economy's not good. And he says the average Iranian just absolutely, totally hates, despises Jimmy Carter, because Carter got rid of the Shah. And mm-hmm. we got the Kukamani in there, and the Kuk just killed so many people,
right.
Put them back in
Nick,
the 19th.
Nick, I got to run. The one thing that unites Iranians is the threat of an American action against them. Thanks for
of
listening
course.
Today.
Thank you. See ya. Bye.
Hemp, the superfood for you and your family. Hemp has nutritional values that far exceed any known plant. Hemp, used for food, clothing, and shelter since time began. Hemp. This God-given food source is controlled by your government, making it not legal to grow for American people and farmers, but legal to import. Our founding fathers grew hemp because they knew of the benefits it offered. The protein powders, seeds, and oil are available through hempusa.org. Recommended daily intake of this food source will allow the body to heal itself from many ailments. Loaded with potassium, magnesium, calcium, essential fatty acids, amino acids, and nutrients not available in other plants. Hemp can be stored with a long shelf life as a life-sustaining food source for you and your family. Could this be the government's best-kept secret? Call today at 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Learn. Help. Shop at hempusa.org. We do not charge for shipping. That's 908-691-2608 or go to hempusa.org.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Slogging through the mud in Centralia, Washington, but it could be worse. Many sections of the Pacific Northwest are underwater after back-to-back storms dumped torrential rain. Alicia Barney of Woodinville, Washington, finds herself homeless and alone.
Lost my dog, lost everything in the apartment. Don't even have a place to go to. I thought I'd at least have my dog, but I don't even have that.
More from Heather Bosch at Seattle Station KIRO.
On her first trip home after the flood...
Oh, I just can't believe all this.
Joanne McGuire finds a sticky, muddy mess. Her belongings strewn everywhere.
Boots were in the bedroom, on a shelf, floated out to here.
Out to the living room.
Out to the living room.
This Woodinville senior is one of the countless people facing the daunting task of cleaning up.
Start somewhere. You gotta begin.
Heather Bosch for CBS News, Woodinville, Washington.
The weather's blamed for at least 7 deaths. Tens of thousands are without power due to wind damage, and utilities say repairs will take days. Credit card companies were in the hot seat today as a Senate panel looked into the practice of raising rates when customers' credit scores go down, even if their payment history is perfect. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
In part due to pressure from the Senate investigation, three big credit card companies say they won't be raising interest rates for people who pay their bills on time. But executives of Discover and Bank America told senators they make no apology for policies, in some cases tripling interest rates because a consumer took out other credit cards or for some other reason their credit score went down. Senators blasted them while praising Citibank, Chase, and Capital One, who aren't doing it.
An industry group defends the practice. Nessa Fettis of the American Bankers Association says customers are free to shop around.
A credit card isn't like a marriage. You can leave your credit card company and find something better. And people have lots of choices because there's lots of competition.
President Bush's news conference today was dominated by questions about Iran. CBS News correspondent Jim Axelrod reports.
President Bush says new intelligence that Iran has stopped trying to build a nuclear weapon changes nothing.
I'm saying that... I believe before the NIE that Iran was dangerous, and I believe after the NIE that Iran is dangerous.
Unmoved by a stark reversal, a report 2 years ago said Iran was developing nukes, Mr. Bush says the world needs to keep up the pressure.